If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Dying to get Paul on that show. That would be quite an event. Now, as some of us know here, Kevin and Bean have a love-hate relationship with Paul. But Paul, as they say, who cares as long as they pronounce your name correctly?
You know, I'll tell you something. I'm surprised and flattered by the attention they pay. I really am, honestly. And I'll think about it. You know, maybe May.
May?
Maybe we'll pay a visit in May.
Is it any wonder the rest of the world hates us?
The fact of the matter is you guys think I suck.
The category is people who annoy you.
As we continue our series on Drive Time Radio in the morning, we're about to show you a morning show team that has no problem saying whatever they want about anybody. Trust me. Kevin and Bean have been doing that, just that, for more than a decade. What are you laughing at me for?
You know they're huge fans of us.
I know, surely. Yeah, they are. For more than a decade on KROQ 106.7.
And now.
You know, you go home and have a couple of shooters, and I don't know what the happens, but when you come back, you're not the same lady.
Our feature presentation.
What would our lives be without him?
Oh, I mean, they would be empty.
Yes.
Sad and empty.
Oops. Be nothing to watch and laugh and watch and laugh and watch and make fun of and call and leave messages.
News should be
fun. Guys,
yeah.
Have you guys seen the new the Kelsey Grammer Patricia Heaton show? It's called Back to You. It's a new sitcom that gave you the show.
I have.
No. Is it good?
I wondered if Paul Moyer came into play when they were deciding what Kelsey's blowhard anchor was going to be like.
Is he just full of hot air? That's his deal?
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah. That's it's not a bad Paul, really. He does a pretty good Paul Moyer.
Yeah.
I just wonder if that had anything to do with it, because he is just one of these blowhards who, you know, thinks that he's way better than everybody in the room, and he pulls it off.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, good old Paul. Gotta love him. Our lives would be meaningless without him. Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday, and it's the 1st of Rocktober.
Wow.
How about that?
I think that's how this entire changing the months got started, as we started talking about KLOS and how they are still fascinated with the fact that Rocktober, you know, rhymes with October. You know what I mean? They still do that as if it's something fresh and new.
We've got a much better name for October. Unfortunately, FCC regulations.
Sorry, kid. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Is that the one? Okay,
that's
I didn't
one.
Know. I just wanted
you can't
to clarify.
Say that. You did know. You can't say that.
Wanted to clarify.
Someone's just talking about roosters here. Come on.
Make sure what I couldn't say. That's all.
Hey, I'm glad Producer Lightning's in the room. Grab him real quick.
Right,
get a headset for him.
He was walking out.
Lightning.
Sorry, here I am.
Yeah. Did you throw beer mugs at Santa Anita? What happened? Kevin wasn't there. How did this happen with Kevin not being there?
First of all, what happened? A riot?
I didn't hear this. I guess I was gone by then.
There was no actual riot, though. The Arcadia PD thought there was a riot, so they called in their riot patrol, their helicopters, their horses, everything. Yes. Someone had thrown a beer mug at a horse, which was assault on an officer, I believe.
Okay.
That's what happened. And it was just, I've never seen 10,000 K-Rock listeners be ejected from a space faster. Lisa, the horses that were milling about behind the scenes, they went out, they got a call that there was an officer, you know, in trouble, and really had nothing had happened. But anyway, so the horses go down to where there's 10,000 people, and they line up sideways, and they just push, literally just pushing all of our kids just right out. Gone, bon.
What
gone.
Time was that?
Usher was there?
Awesome. Usher was there, yes. No doubt.
Chris.
You don't
I
just
think
say
that
ludicrous.
Was about
you gotta say that's ludicrous.
4 o'clock.
No kidding.
So the big thing is that we delayed the 10th race, and it's nationally televised.
Oh.
It's, you guys know what a big deal it is. Yeah, it was nuts. And then to make matters worse, after the whole thing settled, the helicopter finally flew away. One of the officers was leaving and fell off his horse on his own, and then so it was man down.
Oh
yeah.
No.
So one of the people at the microbrew threw a beer mug.
There's always a fight, and typically the Santa Anita,
they're
security
police or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. They're on it immediately.
Yeah.
They know our audience, and we never have
a major.
There's never a major issue.
Yeah.
Right. Even if there's a scuffle, it's over instantly, and everyone is partying.
Right.
This was the first time that Arcadia PD had some people on site And they were just there just to oversee. I mean, we've been doing this for, what, 9 years?
Yeah. Of course, yeah.
I mean, it never had an issue.
So somebody threw a
mug. Why is there a fight, though? Why is there always a fight at one of our events?
Because there's alcohol.
You know what? Wait. I will tell you that it usually starts with two girls. Two girls get into it. One girl backs into another. Hey, bitch, what do you... And then the guys come to blow or the girls scrap. But yeah. We've never had an issue where the cops have called in.
Wow.
Honestly... there's always at least a fight, but with that environment, with how much alcohol is flowing and there's gambling and it's usually 100 degrees, there's rock and roll music, they are very good about keeping things under wraps. One or two small fights as a microbrew is really nothing considering that environment. I'm always shocked at how well things go over.
You guys will have like four or five fights at a Banpack show.
Oh,
you know?
Sure. I mean, this four or five? Are you kidding me?
It's just one continuous fight.
Here's what I saw in the LA Times this morning. Officials announced Sunday that the next K-Rock Microbrew Festival, scheduled to take place at the Santa Anita Infield on November 3rd, the California Cup Day, has been postponed. The announcement followed Saturday's K-Rock Microbrew Festival, which was marred by fighting among patrons toward the end of the day. Dick Honaker, head of track security, confirmed that an Arcadia policeman hired to work the event was knocked down and a security guard from a private agency was hit with a giveaway beer stein. And then in parentheses it says, Kevin.
Those incidents led... There.
I know. Those incidents led to more law enforcement personnel being pulled to the scene. Honaker called the incident unfortunate, saying only a few individuals were involved. Sergeant Brian Ortiz of the Arcadia Police Department said it was a big fight, but it wasn't a riot. He said there were no arrests or serious injuries. Bumps and bruises is how he described the injuries. Four people suffered minor injuries.
Well, don't give us beer steins, for
you
God's
know what's
sakes.
Crazy? You guys know that I'm Mr. Capitalist. Four microbrews ago, I decided I would bring out some mugs. I had some cool SoCal Drinking Club mugs I was going to bring out and sell a couple hundred of. And they were glass, and they freaked. They're like, you can't bring glass in here. People use them as a weapon. It happened several years ago. I'm like, so we boxed them up. We didn't sell any of them. No problem. No harm. No foul. Yeah, we did. We ended up giving them away. We actually did. But it was cool. Well, they were cheap. Whatever. And so I see these things, and word is that they were supposed to pass these mugs, these steins, on the way out.
Oh,
you know, like, you know how we, you know, like
in.
We do at our K-Rock events. Yeah. If we got something heavy, we don't guys hurling stuff at the stage.
Right.
So who knows who made that executive decision? But they passed them out on the way in. So I'm looking at myself, you know, at all of our team, going, why are they?
Somebody threw one of those and hit a police horse.
The horse, which I believe is assault on an officer.
Okay,
that's true. Yeah.
Wow. All right, see, listen, I wasn't there. You can't blame me.
And now they're going to postpone the microbrew?
Yes.
Damn it.
It was crazy. The copters and channels, as soon as Channel 7 shut up, we're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
This could be the last one.
Moyer was there. He was screaming from the helicopter.
Is that right? Wow. Fantastic.
Wow.
All right, well, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right. All right.
We can't take us anywhere.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's the problem.
I left in a nick of time.
Today on the show, we have a crazy person. And you know how much we love the crazy persons.
Oh, yeah.
And every, I don't know, couple of weeks, it seems like, there's a new internet sensation of somebody that's just out of his mind. This guy is Jed Fish, something like that. Jed Fish, I think, on YouTube.
Kevin, I think that's Jed the Fish. I think he's the guy who works here at K-Rock.
The finger painter.
Yeah, that
same
guy.
Yeah,
same
DJ guy. Here at K-Rock is the same guy putting up videos on YouTube, yes.
He's multi-talented, that guy.
He's mind-boggling. And he's gone from easy to understand to can't understand a word he's saying.
That brought my mind to a complete halt.
Yeah. Well, it's not a surprise to anyone who listens to his show. Jed's been going bye-bye for a number of years.
Yeah, he has, unfortunately. Gary Gazman Grant is on the show today. And he's talking about Porn Week. And this, I think, is a chance for you to learn how to get into the porn industry.
Wow.
I believe that's right.
That's this morning. We're going to talk to Jason Schwartzman.
Shalom.
Talking about the Darjeeling Limited.
Mm-hmm.
Best name movie ever.
You said it right. That was good.
Yeah. Best or worst, actually. Stuff You Blew Up today.
In honor of Kevin.
Yeah.
He's blown up a lot of stuff.
I love explosions and I love fire. Those are my two.
Yeah.
Those are my two real passions. So anyway, we're going to do that this morning. We got Bill Shatner on the program today. He, of course, plays Denny Crane on Boston Legal.
Yeah.
Denny Crane.
We have, we're going to talk about Sunday Night Football last night. We got a lot of stuff on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Stalking with Shaolin on the program.
The best.
Yeah, she crazy. She's one of our interns, and she crazy as well. So we'll get to all that, and plus we got Paramore tickets for you coming up. Let's take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz beat. Donovan McNabb just got sacked again.
Oh,
my God. He's not even on the field.
That's got to hurt.
Good thing I'm a baseball fan.
Go Phillies! Phillies! Phillies!
P-H-I-L-L-I-E-S! That's got to hurt, dude.
As a longtime baseball fan, it's so great to see my team come back from 7 games down with just 17 games left in the season. What an amazing comeback.
You don't like baseball.
Love baseball. Give me all about the baseball.
You've said you hate it.
I bleed red and white.
I thought you bled green and white.
A little
football.
Blue. With a little blue sometimes, depending on their uniforms.
Eagles fan is what you were.
We must have we must have misunderstood all these years that you hate baseball and that you love Eagles and that's all you live for.
Nuts?
I'm sorry about that.
You
that's
see
our
me
mistake,
rocking around here with my Chase Utley jersey on all the time?
No, never. Not what I do. No, it's always a Donovan McNabb jersey.
What do you think, Ryan Howard for MVP, huh? Come on. You with me?
Listen to this.
Go MLB.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Woo! God, I love this time of year. You got to love October.
You don't, though.
Ah, oh, God, I love the playoffs. best thing in sports.
Wow, it's a rough time in the old Garmin household.
Best thing in sports, my friend.
Psycho Mike says that we have to call him 4-0, by the way. That's his nickname. 4-0,
oh, that's his new name?
4-0, yeah. Wow.
How about Foreign Skin?
Bastard.
Can we call him that?
Sure.
Hey, okay.
Sure.
Speaking of football, a sport Ralph doesn't enjoy, so
I'm sorry, Ralph,
for just taking a few seconds here.
That's soccer, right?
Why are Kevin's Arizona Cardinals suddenly good? How did they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday?
Because they play 8 quarterbacks at a time. That's why. They actually have 8 quarterbacks on the field at the same time playing. That's why.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was a mistake.
They're platooning. They're going back and forth between Leinart and Warner. It's an interesting tactic, but it's working for them. It's working for them.
They don't realize they're the Cardinals is what I think happened.
Seahawks did the same thing yesterday with Seneca Wallace in there running all those crazy plays with Matt Hasselbeck. I mean, it's funny, but it works, I guess. So anyway, good luck to your Phillies, Ralph. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Tough game this weekend, too, as a matter of fact. They almost lost.
They squeaked it out, didn't they?
My God. They injured two of their 5 starting offensive linemen on the same play.
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
A lot of injuries.
They were. You say USA, they were favored by 20. They won by 3 with 30 seconds left.
Yep.
So it didn't exactly work out the way they
played. But here's the thing about good teams. They find a way to win even in those tight games that they're struggling with. You know.
All right, 5:49. It is time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, shall we? The Game Plan.
Kids.
Number 1 at the box office. The freaking movie with The Rock and his dogs in a tutu.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Below me.
Unbelievable.
Well, you guys can't get angry. It's not for you at all. I mean, it's...
Well, then, below me kids.
But it could be for kids and still be good, though.
It's not for you.
It could be for kids and still be good, though, I think that's our complaint.
That's true.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, sure.
You could do both. Even kids got to like good, right?
Sure, they do. Yeah. Kids like anything, though.
How was it, Kevin?
I didn't see it. I didn't actually have to go. I thought I was going to, and had they asked me, I would have. But
did you force Linus, your personal assistant, to take them?
I skated.
That poor bastard.
That Linus goes to the worst movies ever.
Oh, can you imagine? It must be a nightmare to be him.
I'm afraid to go by myself.
The Game Plan made $22.7 million. How about that?
Dude. Yeah.
Next in
Game Plan 2.
No, yeah, you know, they're already in the works. They're shooting it as we speak. Just shoot it. Get The Rock. Just put him on a field. Shoot it.
I was mocking The Rock for his movie choices on Friday, and here he is with the number 1 movie in America.
How about him?
Yeah.
The Kingdom was number 2 at the box office. Jamie Foxx and Jennifer Garner, in his debut, made $17.7 million.
That one I saw.
He did see The Kingdom.
How was it?
Yes.
Not as good as I'd hoped.
Oh, coming from you, that's not good news.
Struck me as sort of a generic cookie-cutter action film.
Yeah, it was a little worse than that.
Really?
Like, it was really, really, really slow for three-fourths of it, and then the last quarter kind of picked up, but it was just eh. And with that cast...
Was it me, and I love him, but was Jeremy Piven wildly miscast?
Yes.
Yeah, it struck me when I saw what he was doing. I was like, this seems odd.
Yeah, it just looked like Ari and sounded like Ari.
Yeah.
It was in the wrong movie. Sounded like he walked onto the wrong set.
Resident Evil Extinction continues to do well. It was number 3 at the box office this weekend with $8 million. Good luck, Chuck.
Oh, no.
Number 4, $6.3 million. It made $310 to Huma. Number 5, The Brave One. Number 6, Mr. Woodcock. You're welcome. Number 7 at the box office, Eastern Promises. Number 8, Sydney White. Number 9, Across the Universe. Rounds out your top 10 at the box office. Joel Madden, baby, ready to make an honest woman out of his pregnant girlfriend, Nicole Richie. Sources tell TMZ.com, our favorite entertainment news website, that the two have set a wedding date of October the 13th. Lucky 13.
Great idea.
They have hired the services of a party planner called the Wedding Fairy.
Nice. I think it's nice if Kevin let Linus skip out and get a little work on his side, quite frankly.
Wow.
Speaking of marriages, according to bittenandbound.com.
What the hell is that?
I don't know, but I think I rented it once. Bitten and Bound. Pamela Anderson is going to get married to her new boyfriend, Rick Solomon.
I don't believe...
This is the dude in the Paris Hilton sex tape,
right?
It
is indeed, Kevin.
She has to stop getting married, number one.
Yeah, her marriage to Kid Rock ended just 10 months ago, by the way. But dude, she's ready to take another shot at wedded bliss. The website reports that Pam and Rick spent the weekend getting a marriage license in Vegas.
No.
Yes.
She's going to be Liz Taylor before she's done.
Yes, she is.
Yes, she is.
She doesn't get as fat, though.
I hope.
Speaking of Pam's exes, Kid Rock says he has no regrets for taking a swing at Tommy Lee at the MTV Video Music Awards. He told the British tabloid The London Sun that during his marriage to Pam, Tommy would send her really inappropriate emails.
What a surprise.
On her BlackBerry. And Kid had always warned him that if the two would ever meet up again, he was going to do something.
He made he said similar things to us on the phone when we talked to him. We had the first post-fight interview with Kid Rock. I think you were on vacation that week, Ralph. He said, yeah, this has been coming for a long time. He was constantly pissed off at the stuff that Tommy Lee was doing from afar.
That's bananas.
That is.
He said that he did what any man would have done. Well, any white trash man. White trash man and a wife beater.
Exactly.
He drinks a lot of Coors Light. And he speculates that MTV did it on purpose. Put the three members of that love triangle in the same room, hoping that something would happen. Here's the thing. If you're married to the woman, then maybe I could see maybe taking a poke at somebody. I'm really not a proponent of that kind of violence at all.
Right.
But once she's already dumped your ass, you got more in common with Tommy Lee than you do with Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, I guess.
You guys should go have a beer and say, wow, that sucked, didn't it? Yeah, it was rough.
Maybe he's blaming him a little for the breakup.
Maybe. Well, you can't keep your woman.
Yeah.
It's hardly someone else's fault. That's my situation.
You're losing a woman?
I couldn't keep my woman.
No.
What happened?
OK Magazine, the British tabloid, says that Catherine McPhee is ready to head down the aisle with her fiancé.
Oh,
that oldie oldster?
Old manager dude?
He's not her manager.
Oh.
He's an actor, 42-year-old Nick Kokas. He was a New York actor. Apparently the two have been together dating for some time now, and they're definitely engaged, and they're making wedding plans.
Well, sorry, Ralph.
It's all right.
Happens.
I met the guy. He's a pretty nice guy.
You could probably break him up if you tried.
If Catherine's happy, I'm happy. That's all I got to say.
You're very generous.
I like
it. It is shocking to me that they were together for apparently a long time before she went on American Idol.
Yeah.
And that somehow all of her fame didn't break them up, but they so far appear to be pretty solid.
She strikes me as a pretty level-headed girl, though, too.
Seems like
definitely.
It.
That she probably wouldn't let that stuff go to her head, just like Britney Spears.
Ralph, what's your sorry to butt in, but what's your favorite part of baseball? Because I know
my
you're a huge
part?
Fan. Yeah.
I'd have to say the bunt.
The bunt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I love the bunt.
It's the best play in baseball.
Oh, man.
All right.
Think of the balls it takes to step in front of that pitch. Just to square off and just make sure, you know, it hits right there in the middle of the bat. Oh, it's a thrilling play.
You've mocked baseball every day for
what?
10 solid years, Ralph.
You're mad. You're mad, I say. Nothing's more exciting than America's pastime.
Yeah.
Oh, can't wait for this weekend.
I'm
we face
sure.
off against that other team that they're going to play in the playoffs.
Winner of San Diego, Colorado.
The winner of the San Diego, Colorado playoff. They have one playoff game.
See, Ralph Eagles got killed.
Who they're going to play the wild card team. So.
Used to be a football fan.
Yeah. I'm hoping for the Padres because, you know, those Rockies, they're on a tear.
Yeah. And they've never been to the playoffs before.
When I was watching baseball tonight last night, it was just very
you were not
as you do every night.
Every night I watch it.
Oh, the Eagles have turned him
on
against
an endless loop.
Entire football
That's
season.
That's all I watch is baseball tonight. With
this
that,
is
with
like
that host.
This guy, is like yeah. your wife leaving you for a woman. That's what this is like. Ralph is so hurt right now that he's turning his back on the whole sport, not just his team.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm in great spirits because my Phillies
all right.
pulled it off.
Good.
This erases their 64 meltdown. Remember 64?
No, no one remembers
sure.
that.
It's legendary, Kevin.
That was the most famous meltdown in sports history.
That's right.
Whatever.
Come on, Kevin. Get on the baseball bandwagon. It's great. It's great over here. Speaking of Britney Spears, she's not letting a little thing like being drug tested twice a week so she can keep her children stop her from partying.
That's what we like about her.
British tabloid The London Sun has printed pictures of a newly brunette Britney in the backseat of a car with a mojito in her hand.
Oh, no. She's a whore.
Yeah. At least she's not confining her drinking to establishments that serve liquor anymore.
Sure.
Now she's got it in to-go cups.
Dude.
Excellent planning on his part.
I saw that video of her walking out of that Newport Beach nightclub the other night where she just looked dazed and confused, pardon the pun, just like a zombie. Like she wasn't having any fun. I don't know what makes her leave her house and her small children every single night to go out and party.
She does look miserable.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's having a good time. Speaking of dazed and confused, Bean, Led Zeppelin wants you to take them for a ride.
Okay.
Literally. New York Times yesterday said that they're opening the world's first rock and roll theme park.
Yes!
Rock and roll theme park.
How can no one have thought of this before? Seems like a great idea.
Hmm.
It'll be in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Well, all right, there's a drawback. But it'll open next May. It'll be called the Hard Rock Park. The main attraction will be Led Zeppelin The Ride, which will be a 155-foot-tall steel roller coaster that will blast the band's signature tune, Whole Lot of Love, as you get hurtled through six loops.
Nice.
And rolls at the speed of up to 65 miles an hour.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
I have K-Rock microphones were there, by the way, as they broke ground on the roller coaster, if you'd like to
hear. Oh, sure.
That.
I'd love to.
Yeah! Yeah! Everybody!
Yeah.
You!
Uh-huh.
Eat
yeah.
Suck!
Right.
F*** your mom. Die, die, die. Yeah. F*** your mom. Die, die, die. Right. F*** your mom. Die, die, die. Mm-hmm. F*** your mom. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be good.
Imagine a 140-acre theme park just filled with those dudes.
Yep.
Yes.
That's who's going to be going to the Hard Rock Park.
Yes, I can.
They're going to have a special old haunted steel mill ride called the Midnight Rider as a tribute to Southern Rock. Oh, I hope that collapses. There'll be a stunt show.
Sure.
Like, which I guess will be actors playing Kid Rock and Tommy Lee fighting each other on stage. A hip-hop-themed midway. And an arcade named the Pinball Wizard Arcade, naturally. So,
here's
your rock park.
It's called the Hard Rock
Park. Hard Rock Park.
Is this the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino?
I can only imagine they must be involved or else they wouldn't be able to use that name.
Yeah,
right?
I think so, right? Yeah.
And lastly, a Saudi man has divorced his wife because she was watching a male TV host.
Yeah! No.
Yeah.
How dare she?
The man decided since she was watching the program while alone, it was an immoral act.
There needs to be someone with her?
You can't watch TV with a dude on it unless she's got a chaperone.
So basically you can't watch TV.
Basically you can divorce a woman for any reason you want if you're a Saudi, apparently.
Yeah.
Yes. You can. It's not good for women.
He ended his marriage on the grounds that his wife was effectively alone with an unrelated man. Which is strictly forbidden under Islamic law, as enforced in the ultra-conservative
she
kingdom.
She was alone with a strange man except for he was on TV?
Yes.
She wasn't bent over the couch, Ralph. She was just watching the dude do the news,
well,
right?
Ralph knows that.
I'm not a Saudi divorce court.
Ralph. Wow, that's horrible.
Yeah, she's screwed because, I don't know if you know or not, but in Saudi Arabia, men have the authority to divorce their wives without resorting to the courts. You really don't have to go through any sort of process.
Yep.
You can text message them.
Exactly.
I break with thee, and throw dog poopy on her shoes.
That's how you do it?
That's how you do it, yeah. If you can divorce a woman for watching a male TV host, what can my wife do to me for what I do when I watch Heroes?
No kidding.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Wouldn't
be a court
she
in the
could
land.
Kill you.
Wouldn't be a court in the land that wouldn't convict me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take a look at, how'd you know?
By the way, who's the new chick? Who's the new chick that's coming up from,
Veronica Mars?
No.
She's going to be on.
No, the Hispanic chick.
Oh, yeah. The one who makes your eyes bleed. Yeah, Maya makes your eyes and ears bleed.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
And her brother's the only dude who can control her. Like the Wonder Twins. Wonder Twin powers activate. Today's celebrity birthdays, Julie Andrews, legendary singer and actress, of course, star of Sound of Music, Mary Poppins, whole bunch of movies. She's 72 years old today. Stephen Collins from Seventh Heaven turned 60. Randy Quaid, very talented character actor, is 57 years old today. Isai Morales,
Mira,
my old co-star from NYPD Blue, turns 45 years old today. And Cindy Margolis,
oh yeah,
at one time the most downloaded woman on the internet. I know I had to get the screen cleaner out once in a while.
You did your fair share.
Watch Cindy on the internet. She's 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That's where you want to be at the end of November, by the way, is Nashville, Tennessee. You want to leave Southern California, head right for Nashville. That's ideal weather-wise. I got to tell you, it's good playing right there. So I'm having a conversation with my manslave, Marty, the other day. This is Bean speaking. I got this guy named Marty who Kevin insists I pay to be my friend. And granted, he does charge me when we play tennis. But
see?
I think he's just being funny. But
we're having a conversation.
He's just being funny. Do you pay him?
Yeah.
No, I don't pay him to just be funny back. So we're having a conversation the other day, and I don't know how it came up, but we started talking about blowing stuff up. And blowing stuff up, it's hard to explain how cool blowing stuff up is to people who don't get it.
Yeah, it really is. It's the best.
But, you know, most of the movies you go to, that's one of the things you factor in before you go is how much stuff blows up, right? I mean, it's just...
That is part of the important part of the movie. Yes, Lisa, what?
Keen doesn't blow stuff up.
You might
but
enjoy.
I appreciate the art form.
Yes.
Okay.
There are a lot of things I don't do. I don't do kung fu either, but I can respect somebody who's a master of it. I
got
to bow to Kevin as a guy who knows how to blow stuff up, right?
He does.
So he's
Wait a minute. You don't know kung fu?
I'm sorry, I don't.
Okay, sorry, back to you.
So I'm talking to Marty. He's telling me about stuff that he has seen blown up, and he told me two stories, both of which lead us into your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. We need to know what you blew up and what happened, all right? Two stories that he told me, both of which were fascinating to me. One is, apparently, as a young person, and by the way, most people's stories run out when they get to be around 16, 17 years old. For some reason, Kevin's have continued. Kevin still has stories from last weekend of stuff he blew up.
Because most people aren't professional. They just do it like on the side, whatever.
He and his friends, Marty and his friends, apparently, took a 5-gallon plastic jug of gasoline.
Oh, good.
And went back about 50 paces. And shot it with a rifle.
Good.
Now, because they wanted to see what would happen. Would the spark of the bullet explode the gasoline? Show enough.
I like it.
Show it up.
That's a good idea.
Apparently that worked. And the other story wasn't him, but it was a friend of his who, on a parade route during a 4th of July parade, went and dropped dynamite into the porta potty.
Oh, wow.
Raining now, poo on everyone.
It's raining poo. Yep, the Slayer hit. It's raining poo. We're playing that year. Now, I'm not a fan of that one, to tell you the truth.
Of course. What are you talking about? That's artwork right there.
But apparently the porta potty went, who knows if this is their imagination and they remember it better than it was, but they say it went over 50 feet in the air when it blew up, which I find very difficult to believe. But apparently apparently it was raining poo over quite a bit of the crowd that 4th of July.
Oh,
and they dropped the dynamite and then just ran as fast as they could, turning around just in time to watch the thing shoot into the sky.
I hope there was a guy in there.
No, there was no guy in there.
Awesome. Hey, catch!
But what about that, Kevin? Is that impressive?
Fantastic. Are you,
you
kidding?
Love that?
Yes, that rules. I love blowing stuff up. I don't know what it is, but it just fascinates me. When I was in high school, I blew like tiles off the roof of the school. You know, I get up on the roof and whatever I had, like a little firecracker or something, I'd try to wedge it in someplace so it does the most amount of damage. You know, I've done that my whole life. I burned my eyebrows off one time because I was breaking open like fireworks and pouring it into a cup, and I threw in a match and it didn't light.
And so you went to look.
So I went to look like a moron, and boom, my eyebrows were gone. That's so fun.
What else have you blown up,
Kevin?
I've
blown up stuff here. I've blown up stuff at work. I blew up that Pikachu with an M80.
Oh, Dave's Pikachu.
Put an M80 in the Pikachu's ass.
Yeah,
that was good.
Rip that butt right out.
Yeah.
What was the incident where you were on your hands and knees trying to clean whiteout out of the carpet and walls? What did you blow up then?
Well, like I say, the smaller the firework, the tighter you have to put it in to do. So I put a little firecracker in a bottle of whiteout because I thought it'd be funny, right? And then it was. And then our general manager came around and said, "Okay, get on your knees and clean that up." So I had to.
Because there was whiteout everywhere.
Everywhere. All over the carpet, all over the wall. I couldn't have seen that coming. No possible way.
Never occurred to you, I'm sure.
And every 4th of July, of course, I blow someone up. That's my goal. I mean, that's my goal, really.
Someone.
You do increase your firepower on the 4th of July by like 100-fold every year, don't you?
Yes. And two years ago, I was shooting off some of those that go way up in the air and then explode.
Mm-hmm.
And I lit the fuse and I waited and I thought, wow, this boom, right? Just surprise. It didn't go anywhere. It just exploded.
Oh.
And I turned around. I saw my daughter covered head to toe in sand. She looked like we had built her out of sand. It was all over the house and every place else. Good times.
Wow.
1-800.
Dangerous.
520-1067. Let's talk to Mike in North Hollywood. He's on line 3, and we're going to take your call, squeeze in as many as we can. We want to know what you blew up and what happened. Hey, Mike, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, what's up, guys?
You're obsessed with blowing stuff up, too?
Yeah. Santa Monica!
Not again.
Yep. And he's gone.
I got to tell you, I appreciate that humor.
That cracks me up.
Let's try Ralph. He's on line 5 calling us from Long Beach here this morning. Ralph, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Stuff you blowed up. What's your story?
We were in junior high, and we took a quarter stick of dynamite at M101, put it in the boys' toilets, flushed it down, and just blew them all up.
Oh, my God. Nice.
Toilets, dude. That's a mess.
And then was it a long, long cleanup? I mean, did they have to dig down and change the whole thing?
Yeah, they had it shut down for like 2 or 3 days. They had to come in and redo the pipes and everything. Nice. It was sweet, though.
This is a mess.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
I'm not a fan of the vandalism. I am a fan of blowing stuff up, but not where...
They go hand in hand,
not
dude.
Where taxpayers have to pay
now
for it to
now
be
it costs me money. Right,
right,
exactly.
I agree.
Let's go to Jay in San Clemente. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, party people?
Hey,
what's
Jay.
Happening? Stuff you blowed up.
Yeah, well, we were out of the desert once, and we had a nice little pleather couch, and we dumped about 10 gallons of gas on it and threw a nice little flare into it, and it blew cushions about 8 feet in the air and about 10 feet away from the couch.
I like it.
Nice.
Dude.
Yeah, and we had to stay far enough away so we didn't burn the hairs off our body, probably about 40 feet away from it.
Wow.
Now, how long ago did this happen, Jay?
About a year ago during
yes.
the season.
Well, then there's no excuse for it not being up on YouTube. See, that's the beautiful thing about blowing stuff up now is it's not like the old days where you just saw it and had to remember it for the rest of your life. Now you can actually film it, put it up on YouTube, and it lives forever.
And the rest of us can enjoy it.
Well, we got the whole new desert season this year. Tons of free couches out there.
Is that right? Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thank you, Jay,
good
for
test.
The call. We appreciate it. I don't know what was going on there. Sounded like he was having an explosion happening with his phone. All right, we need to take a quick break, but we have a bunch of people on hold. Pipe bombs, excellent. Gasoline bottles, good. Homemade
mortar
fireworks, mortar shells.
We got it all.
You people are my...
Talking about stuff you blowed up at 1-800-520-1067. Man, we got some great stories. We'll get to them as fast as we can. Try to get as many on the air as we can. Why don't we start with line one, Sal in West Covina, or as it says here, Wet Covina. I don't know if that's some sort of a commentary, but what? Hey, Sal, what'd you blow up, man?
Okay, well, this is about 11 years ago. I grew up in La Puente, and my drunk uncle for 4th of July, I thought it'd be funny to blow up a palm tree. Well, he got about 10 M80s and just put them underneath the palm tree and blew it up. Well, the thing caught on fire in October.
Dude. Sorry, what?
Took out a light post.
Took out a light post?
Yeah, because it was right next to a light post. So it took out a light post, well, an electric pole, sorry. A bunch of electric wire and knocked it over, and it took out, like, about 3 city blocks of electricity.
Fantastic.
That is not what you were planning on, is it?
Did they trace it back to you guys, Sal?
Well, yeah, of course, we were the only one standing there, and now my uncle's still stuck paying for the utility bill for knocking over a light pole and a hefty fine from the city for using illegal fireworks. I think the total came out to, like, $60,000 in fines from the court.
But well worth it. Well worth it.
Yeah, very well worth it.
That's what I thought. Thank you, Sal. That's awesome. All right, let's go to Mike in Fullerton. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
You blew morning, stuff you, up. Sir. What'd you do?
Well, I lived in northern Georgia in the outskirts out there,
mm-hmm.
and we blew up a railroad tie making a pipe bomb out of Schedule 40 PVC.
Nice.
Was this okay, one that was in use? I mean, were trains actually on that track?
Well, there was a train accident there, and
Before.
And then they just threw all these railroad ties on
oh,
the side.
I see.
Oh,
so,
I gotcha.
I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So we picked one up, and it's actually pretty heavy. It's like 10 feet long.
Yeah, those things are huge. Right.
Yeah.
What'd you use?
And,
well, he made a pipe bomb out of PVC.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
What'd you fill it with?
Black powder.
Nice.
Black gunpowder.
I want to hang out with you, Mike. Thank you for the call. Good times.
Yeah, just officially, for the record, we should say, don't blow up railroad tracks that are in use, okay?
Right.
That is not cool.
Really, don't do any of this. This is all bad,
yes.
is what we mean to say. I mean, that's our point for
of
today.
Of course.
If you take anything away from the Kevin and Bean Show. Mark in Riverside, good morning.
Morning.
Are you exploding something right now? What's going on?
No, I'm driving to work.
All right.
It was my buddy's last night on house arrest. And it was the 4th of July, and we had about 10 piccolo peeps.
Right.
We put him in a 5-gallon water jug and set it in front of an Escalade. Well, when we lit it, we took off, and then we heard the explosion. We walked out all nonchalant, like nothing happened, to see what the noise was, and the front end of the Escalade was gone.
Okay.
Gone.
Wait a minute, though. Aren't Piccolo Pete's those tiny little annoying noisemakers?
Yeah.
Yeah, but when you break them in half and dump the powder in a bag and put it in a 5-gallon water jug,
really?
They kind of blow up.
You'd have to put 500 of them in there, I would think, to do anything.
No, we use 10.
Yeah, I'm not buying that. Sorry, Mark. Thanks for the call.
Kevin would know, Mark.
It just
you
doesn't seem possible.
You can't run that by Kevin.
I mean, maybe a friend has put something else in there. They added something else to it, but Piccolo Pete's are weak.
Whose Escalade was it, by the way, I was curious about?
I think a friend's, he said.
Oh, dude. I thought just Tina Friend did it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right, where do we want to go here? Bloom up half a park?
Well, I think we got to talk to Marcos on line 4. He's in Whittier. You know, we hadn't even gotten into the always funny stories where you get hurt. Not only do you blow stuff up, but you get hurt. That's the best.
Good times. Marcos.
Morning, Kevin and Bean and Lisa May.
Good morning.
It happened when I was about 10 years old, about 28 years ago. I was, day after 4th of July, I was going around picking up duds, and I found one of those Chinese firecrackers, and I lit one. I lit the fuse and didn't go off, so I went and picked it up, put it in my mouth, started puffing on like a cigarette.
God.
Wait a minute. Let me see if I've got this straight. You lit a firecracker. It didn't blow up, so you put it in your mouth.
Yes, that's correct.
What were you thinking?
And I split my lip and I ended up looking like a walrus.
Hey, look at me, everybody. I'm smoking.
Oh, God.
And it blew up and split your lip.
Right there in the cleft underneath my nose. It went from my lip to my nose.
You rule.
Jeez.
His mouth. That's the best. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Robert in Rancho Cucamonga. Good morning, Robert. I'm sorry, this is Robin. Hi.
Hi. I'm calling to tell you guys a little thing we do every time we go camping.
Mm-hmm.
And this actually takes a little more finesse than some of what your other listeners have talked about.
Right.
We take a glass bottle with a metal top, put a little bit of gasoline in it,
yes,
and put the whole thing in the campfire.
Oh,
the
nice.
Gasoline starts to... The gasoline starts to boil,
right?
And in about 3 minutes, we have a 9-foot flame shooting out of the top of the bottle.
Okay, now it's a glass bottle?
Yes.
What keeps it from shooting in 1,000 pieces toward you?
Well, because the pressure is released once the flame goes out of the top.
Okay. But you said you put a lid on it.
Right.
And then what, the lid blows off?
No, the lid doesn't blow. The beauty of the whole thing is that the lid doesn't blow off. The gasoline vapor boils, and there's a tiny pinhole in the lid, and so a gigantic flame shoots out. And
cool.
We have to call it 9 feet because apparently any fire column taller than 9 feet is considered a terrorist act.
Oh no!
Oh,
so whatever it is, it's 9 feet.
Yes,
I got
absolutely.
You. Gasoline bottle.
Okay, that sounds really scary to me.
Have you noticed, Robin, that you're the only woman calling in on blowing stuff up?
Yeah, I know.
You're kind of a dude, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what I thought. All right. Thank you, Robin. Boy, that's you people are good.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, Kevin, you're getting some good ideas for next 4th of July, right? You get a little bonfire out there on the beach, get the 9-foot flame going, you're set.
Writing all this down.
And now, a black moment with Lisa May.
So much ice in my mouth that my breath causes blizzards. Every time I inhale, I end up freezing my gizzards.
That was a black moment with Lisa May.
There's nothing black about that.
Wow.
There's everything black about that. You don't know black, Kevin.
Remember when
clearly.
Remember when we used to do that game where Lisa would read the lyrics to rap songs?
Oh, let's bring it back. That's
fantastic. I want to know who would win in a rap-off between Denny Blaze and Lisa. Because after that clip, I'm really curious.
You mean pinpoint, Mike.
As far as being the worst or the best?
Yeah, completely off rhythm. There's never been.
She didn't have beats.
She comes
That's
out
right.
of line. She
give me beats.
Gate.
It's a whole nother thing.
Okay, now mark that tape. If we give her beats, it's a whole nother thing.
Okay.
Tomorrow we're going to have a Lisa wrap-off. We're going to get Denny Blaze back on the phone. All right.
Hey, Anthony Anderson, very funny guy, very talented actor, star of the new hit show called K-ville, joins us later on today. Actor Jason Schwartzman from the Darjeeling Limited is going to be here. And I know we have a couple of minutes till William Shatner is going to be joining us. Yeah. And I'm glad because it's been a long time since we played this on the air. One of the reasons I love William Shatner so much.
I'm not a Starfleet commander. Or T.J. Hooker. I don't live on Starship NCC-170 or on a phaser. I don't know anyone named Bones, Sulu, or Spock.
And no, I've never had green alien sex. But I'm sure it'd be quite an evening. I speak English. And French. Not Klingon. I drink Labatt's, not Romulan ale. And when someone says to me, live, lie, and prosper, I seriously mean it when I say get a life. My doctor's name is not McCoy, it's Ginsburg. And tribbles were puppets, not real animals. Puppets! And when I speak, I never ever talk like every word is its own sentence. But I was raised in Montreal. And yes, I've gone where no man has gone before, but I was in Mexico and her father gave me permission.
Captain's log, Stardate 456-52.1.
Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ear.
William Shatner, William Shatner.
With the Commodore VIC-20, the whole family can learn computing at home.
William Shatner.
He plays great games, too.
I'm not a Starfleet commander. Or T.J. Hooker.
You smell that? A sweet odor like honey.
I'm Denny Crane.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. William Shatner!
He is the best, and he's back on TV with Boston Legal Tuesday nights at 10.
All that stuff.
Come on. Hey, Bill. How are you, man?
It must have taken somebody days to put that together.
Weeks, yeah. We have little slaves. They don't get paid anything.
Little elves working on soundtracks.
Yep, exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
Bill, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How have you been, my friend?
Well, I've been well, and yourselves?
Well, we're plugging along. You know, I just remember when you started with Boston Legal, what was it, 3 or 4 seasons ago, you said to us, Kevin and Bean, I didn't want to do this job. I'm old. I didn't want to work this much. I just wanted to take a little while, and it ends up being 16-hour days. Here you are all these years later back for a new season. How do you do it?
I don't know. I mean, I got up at 4 o'clock this morning. In order to, I'm doing what they call a radio syndicated thing.
Excellent.
To advertise Boston Legal on tomorrow night, you know, Tuesday, 10 o'clock, ABC. So I'm doing a number of stations, yours being my favorite. And,
that's what he says to everybody.
And I thought, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Yeah, you know, 4 o'clock here is 7 o'clock on the East Coast. So
sure.
It's a lot of work. Yeah. 4 years ago, I talked to you guys saying I really didn't think I wanted to do a series. My wife said, don't do a series. And here I am, 4 years later, advertising it.
Yeah.
And what's really remarkable about you is you haven't slowed down in your personal life either. I know you're still out there going everywhere and doing everything and your horses and your other hobbies that you have. I mean, I mean, you are the poster child for the new 75, I guess.
I guess. I got an album out there, Kevin, Arkansas Philharmonic and I, and 350 choral group. It's called Exodus. It's an unusual, it's an uplifting record. It'll be in Walmart and all everywhere the DVDs are sold, called Exodus.
You have the strangest life I've ever heard of.
Then what about this one? I got a new book called Academy. It's my unique artistic vision of what young Captain Kirk and young Spock will be like, and wherever books are sold, it'll be the Academy and a Christmas
okay. Just stop it.
Yeah.
Just stop it, Bill.
How about that?
Just stop.
You're making us tired. Just
tired.
Talking
Think
to
about
you.
Me. I mean, hey, you're in the comfort of your home.
Yeah, true.
Certainly, yes. Now, speaking of Academy, which sounds fascinating, and a lot of people who may not pay close attention don't realize that you've written a ton of Star Trek books. I mean, in addition to lots of other science fiction books, but I mean, you've got a unique insight into that world. You've written a lot of books. You're not involved in the new Star Trek 11, although your friend Leonard Nimoy is going to be in the new movie, right?
Nimoy is there. He aced me out. He must have told J.J. Abrams not to hire me or something. No, I'm not in it. Unusual, sort of strange, but that's the way it is. They put together a script that doesn't include the character I play. And
how do you do that?
I don't know. It was strange, and I know nothing. All I know is Mr. Abrams called and said he was sorry, but there was the way they had written it.
That's nice. You at least got a call.
Well, yeah. I mean, we talked a couple of times, actually. So that's too bad, but it's going to be a wonderful movie, I'm sure. And he is a wonderful filmmaker.
Yeah, he is. He is indeed. Well, you're certainly busy enough. This is William Shatner on the line. We're talking about Boston Legal back for a new season, Tuesday nights at 10 on ABC. A big 90-minute premiere last night. And Denny Crane, your character, one of the best characters on TV, the character that has won you Emmys, Mr. Shatner,
yes.
continues to get in trouble. The season opens with you getting busted for soliciting a hooker. That's the kind of role you've got to love to play as an actor.
That's right. And last week we were filming. It hasn't played yet. It'll be up in a couple of months. I get busted for soliciting sex in a bathroom.
By tapping your foot with a wide stance?
Exactly. And all I was doing was trying to relieve myself of some compaction. I was
sure. I don't think we need any more details on that.
He arrested me. It's one of the funnier moments I've ever read. We've played that. We're about to do that scene today, this morning, as a matter of fact. I'm sitting in my dressing room talking to you.
Those people
are awesome. We're about to play that scene this morning.
For those of you that don't watch the show, William plays Denny Crane, and he's crazy.
Oh yeah,
he's just flat
he's
out of his mind.
He's the best.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about that because I was.
David Kelly is a genius. There's no question about it. And we say his words, and they're funny at times, or meaningful at others.
Let me ask you this, Bill. Because Denny Crane is one of the very few conservative characters on a primetime TV show, let's face it, Hollywood doesn't put a lot of those on the TV. Do you ever get any heat from people who say, why does the one conservative guy on the show have to be so chauvinistic and so misinformed and so prejudiced? Do you ever hear that from people that complain about it?
I don't. Actually, what I get is from a lot of conservative people in professions that you think of as being conservative like policemen and things like that. I get a lot of thumbs up, good for you.
Well, Denny sure loves his guns and his women, doesn't he?
That's right. Not necessarily in that order.
Here's a clip of William Shatner with the great James Spader working so well together in the roles that have won them both Emmys. This is from last week's debut this season of Boston Legal.
Why are you out with hookers in the first place? Sex. What'd you think, cribbage? Don't you find it a little desperate, Denny? A little sad? Let's face it, I'm not an attractive man, and at my point in life, my options are limited.
Denny, you're very attractive. Are you kidding? Your face is robust. It has character. You've got that twinkle in your eyes. You're surprisingly firm.
You really think I'm attractive?
I do. You know I do.
May I cut in?
You and James play it pretty gay on Boston Legal sometimes, Bill.
They have sleepovers. It's awesome.
Again, on the scene we played the other day, the guy says, well, you guys have sleepovers. I say, yeah, but we don't have sex.
Well, you're both great. James Spader is fantastic in this show as Alan. And Denny Crane is really such a creative show, and we love it. And, Bill, we like to have you on anytime we can.
Thanks. Thanks, Kevin. And take care of yourselves. I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you. Boston Legal, Tuesdays, 10 o'clock on ABC. Thanks, Bill.
Bye-bye, Bill. Jason Schwartzman from Darjeeling Limited. New movie, difficult to say, coming out on Wednesday. We'll talk to him after the news at 7. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Monday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
It is not difficult to say. I don't know why you're struggling with Darjeeling Limited. I ride it to work every day, my friend, on the outside.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, shall we? The Game Plan. Oh, The Rock is quarterback Joe Kingman, who's the best damn player in the league until he finds out he's got an 8-year-old daughter he had no idea he had.
Yay!
Seriously, people. Seriously.
What are you going to do?
It was a nice weekend. Take your kids outside. Play in the park or something. Why are you subjecting them to this?
Game.
Is that my dog in a tutu? Butkus! Holy crap. $22.7 million worth of bad right there.
So you liked it?
I didn't see it.
No.
The Kingdom was number 2 at the box office, made $17.7 million. Resident Evil Extinction came in third with $8 million. Then Good Luck Chuck at number 4. Number 5 was 310 to Yuma. The Brave One, number 6, Mr. Woodcock, comes in at number 7. Number 8, Eastern Promises, 9, Sidney White, and number 10, Across the Universe, the Beatles musical, making $2 million. Good enough to keep it in the top 10 this weekend. All right, Fox, it's on.
What? Yeah,
you and
on?
Me.
What
you
happened?
And me, Fox.
What happened?
Mano a mano.
What'd they do?
Out in the this parking lot after the show today. You and this me, is, Fox.
This isn't still Ryan Seacrest hosting the Emmys, is it?
It's worse. It's Should that. Be. It's that and worse.
How can it be?
Wait till you hear this story from the Los Angeles Times. You know who originally several top executives at Fox wanted to host the Emmys?
Sandra Oh.
No.
Hugh Laurie.
Ah.
Oh, really?
Hugh Laurie.
Fantastic. People don't know how funny he is.
Was originally supposed to be the host of the Emmys.
That's the guy from House, for those of you who don't recognize it.
Best goddamn actor on TV and one of the best goddamn shows on TV. And besides being brilliant, he's also hysterically funny.
Very funny.
In England, he was basically a sketch comedian. He was like Steve Carell of England. Did sketch comedy, sitcoms, hilariously funny guy. Musically talented, can play guitar and piano, can sing, composes his own music. Would have been a brilliant host.
Did he turn them down?
No.
What?
Several top Fox executives were lobbying for Hugh Laurie to get the gig. But the guy who oversees the show nixed the idea. Wait till you hear why.
Too good?
They thought it would confuse viewers to see Laurie in an unfamiliar role.
Oh, come on.
That was the official explanation. Viewers might be confused seeing you, Laurie, in an unfamiliar role.
Because they think he's a real doctor?
Hey, that Dr. House has a British accent. I'm not watching that show no more.
What?
I'm not watching it because now I'm confused.
Wow.
So they thought Seacrest would be a safer choice since he already hosts and people accept him as a host because he's hosty. How about the fact he's talentless? Did that factor in at any point? Someone raise their hand in the big Fox boardroom and say, excuse me, Mr. Fox, Ryan Seacrest blows. Anyone else have a problem with that? All right, never mind, I'll just sit here.
You know, the whole Emmys thing was BS. They censored so many speeches that I turned it off.
They censored
the
hell
out
of it.
And then there was Ryan Seacrest. I'm not even going to watch anymore if this is,
and by the way,
this is what the show is.
Everyone there plays a different role. None of them are actually Emmy nominees. They actually have roles in shows. That's the way it all works.
Should you not let James Spader accept his Emmy because people might be confused? Hey, what's that lawyer doing carrying an Emmy? He's a lawyer. He shouldn't be on the TV show.
That guy's an actor.
I'm not watching that Boston League anymore. I'm confused.
F you, Fox. F you right in a hiney.
Yeah. I think they obviously just wanted to tie into, you know, American Idol. Let's be honest.
Yeah, that show's not big enough.
Yeah, how much more promotion do they need for American Idol coming back? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
So it just made me even more furious.
It is insulting to the viewer, the way we are treated by some of the networks.
By the way, if you're a Hugh Laurie fan like I am, there is a box set of this sketch comedy show I'm talking about from the BBC.
Oh, really?
Called A Little Bit of Fry and Laurie. He works with Stephen Fry, his longtime partner and buddy. And the whole box set is from 1986 to 1995 he did this show. And it's just outrageous sketch comedy. It's very, very funny stuff. So Netflix it or pick it up.
Ralph, you watch Stephen Fry's show on BBC America?
I do, yes.
His talk show? God, he's funny.
He's a very talented guy, too. They've been working together for a long, long time, this show. Ah, I feel better having said that.
Yeah. Good.
Okay.
Sometimes you got to get it out.
You do. You got to vent sometimes. Hey, Tom Cruise killed a dude.
What?
Now, what's this about?
Allegedly.
Do you remember the guy who stole Tom Cruise's wedding pictures?
Yeah, and he was going to try and auction them or something?
Yeah, he tried to extort money from the Cruises. He said, look, I've got these photos from your official photographer of your wedding in Italy. Give me $1.2, $1.3 million, or else I'm going to release these photos. And the Cruises got a hold of the FBI, and he got charged with extortion. Well, David Hans Schmidt, 47 years old, who was under house arrest for those charges, as well as others, apparently committed suicide this weekend. Uh-huh.
Dude.
Yeah, that's what happened. They found him stuffed full of vitamins and exercise when they found him. That's all I'm saying.
Can you get stuffed full
of
exercise?
He was vitamined and exercised to death.
They ought to be trying to pick Xenu out of a police lineup at this point.
Police found his body inside a volcano with a hydrogen bomb attached to it.
Dude.
Yeah, he was found in a townhouse around 3 p.m. on Friday. after police noticed the tracker that had been placed on him, because he was under house arrest, had not moved in some time.
Yeah, that can be bad.
And he had not checked in, so they checked in on him and found him dead in his apartment. This guy had quite the record, by the way. This is also the guy who tried to auction off Paris Hilton's diaries and naked photos and personal items that had been locked away in that storage unit in Los Angeles.
Right.
Same guy. He brokered the deal to sell the sex video of Dustin Diamond, Screech.
Yeah,
that sex video was his work.
That was bad.
The video of Tanya Harding's wedding night. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was him.
Yeah.
Wow. And he also was trying to sell topless photos of rescued U.S. Army POW Jessica Lynch. So he was a swell fella.
Top-notch guy.
A player.
Swell fella, this guy. And he's no longer with us.
By the way, we kid. Everything that Scientology says is correct.
Right. We don't really think Tom Cruise
no.
killed it, dude.
Nobody.
He had somebody do it for him.
Allegedly.
What? And I heard you guys talking to William Shatner.
Yes.
Yes.
The captain, James T. Kirk. It's a drag. He won't be involved in the next Star Trek movie.
Weird, isn't it?
Yeah. But here's the thing. Vulcans live to be like 900 years old. So I guess somehow you can figure out how to get Nimoy in there. But Kirk's actually already dead in the movie series. So it'd be hard-pressed to try to give him a comeback. But it looks like we know who's going to be playing the young Captain Kirk in the new movie. According to IESB.net.
Hold on. Ryan Seacrest?
Yes! It was going to be Hugh Laurie, but they decided to go with Ryan Seacrest here. So people won't be confused. He's an actor named Mike Vogel.
Who is that?
Mike Vogel had a small role in Poseidon. That's all we've seen him in, really, except he has a big part in the new J.J. Abrams project known as 11808, or Cloverfield.
Uh-huh.
He's got a big role in that film.
Okay.
And apparently J.J. was so impressed by his work that, according to sources, he is the front runner for the role of Captain Kirk.
He's a fan!
Stop it. What's wrong with you?
Come on, you don't even know the guy.
Stop it.
So far we know Zachary Quinto will be young Spock. Zoe Saldana will be playing Uhura. Anton Yelchin of Alpha Dog will be playing Pavel Chekhov. And it looks like an actor named Paul McGillian, will be playing Scotty. So, there's your tentative Star Trek lineup for the next film.
All right.
So now you know what's going on. Today's celebrity birthdays: Julie Andrews, singer, actress, Sound of Music star, 72 years old today. Originally, they wanted Ryan Seacrest to play Maria von Trapp. But she managed to work her way in. Stephen Collins from 70. I'll tell you something. The Eagles are not worth my hangovers anymore, that's for sure. That team blows, and it feels so much worse.
They played last night.
When
that
they play
help.
Like that,
yeah.
And then I feel like this in the morning.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Stephen Collins is 60 years old today. Randy Quaid turns 57. And Cindy Margolis, one of the most downloaded women on the internet. Still looks pretty good. I think she posed nude for Playboy at like 40 or something. Looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
She's 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Did we mention, by the way, that today is the first of Rocktober? Take that, KLOS. We can do it, too. We can pretend it's funny that October rhymes with Rocktober. It's not just you. All right. First, though, we're very excited to welcome back to the show one of our favorite actors in the Darjeeling Limited opening later this week. We're talking about the new Wes Anderson film and Jason Schwartzman. Back on the phone, back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Jason. How are you, man?
Morning, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thanks.
Hi, Lisa May.
Hello, Jason.
Ding.
I heard you got hurt. How are you feeling?
I feel pretty good. Thank you for asking. I broke two of my toes.
Ouch.
What were you doing?
I was playing shoeless soccer.
Oh, excellent. Good.
It's so stupid and silly.
You kick a ball or somebody else's foot?
I kicked the back of someone's foot.
Excellent.
And I was trying to be cool about it right when I did it, but I knew it was broken, but I didn't want to seem like a baby because I was playing with a bunch of guys who seemed like they were really good at soccer and really strong.
Right.
And they're like, oh, my God, Mike, your foot is completely purple. Are you all right? I'm like, I'm fine. Just keep playing.
That's probably the best acting you've ever done was pretend to be macho and not in pain at that moment, right?
Oh, my, it was off. And then at the end, they were like, do you want a bowl of ice? And I was like, no, let's just go have some tacos. I'm fine. Just pass me a pico de gallo and relax.
Well, Jason, the Darjeeling Limited is the latest from Wes Anderson, who is always interesting. Let's face it. Life Aquatic, Rushmore, Royal Tenenbaums, Bottle Rocket. I mean, every movie this guy makes is worth seeing. What's this one? How's this one fit into his oeuvre?
Well, I think that this is, I think, to be a slight departure, though it is very Wes Anderson in style. It's also very wild and raw and has a very kind of unhinged feel about it. It's basically about these three brothers that haven't seen each other since the death of their father, and they haven't spoken. And since his death, they just are a complete mess. And Owen Wilson's character gathers them all up in India so they can be brothers again and have what he calls a spiritual experience, and he gives them an itinerary with all their temples and things they're supposed to go to have this experience, and of course it just backfires and they just bicker and fight.
And it's you and it's Adrian Brody and Owen Wilson.
Yes.
And there's also Natalie Portman and Bill Murray and Angelica Houston. It looks like an amazing cast.
Yeah, well, actually, Natalie Portman and I are in a short film that's available as a free download right now on iTunes called Hotel Chevalier.
That's the one where you're nude?
She might be a little
she's
more
nude
than me.
Right, that's
oh,
what
Kevin
I
is so disappointed.
No, that's what I meant.
He was hoping it was you, Jason.
I can email you some shower
nope
pics.
Nope, thanks.
No, okay.
Okay, but explain that to me. What is the 12-minute download for free on iTunes? What is it? Do you need to see that to kind of set up what the movie's about?
I think that it definitely helps. It's basically it's a companion piece to the movie, or like a prologue or something. And I play the same character in both movies, and it's a backstory of where my character's coming from before the film. So it is kind of like homework for an audience, and it really, really does help to make the movie slightly more understandable. And it is pretty important that you see it.
Sounds like a good plan. I mean, seriously, it sounds like that was a well-thought-out strategy to get people in.
Oh.
Now, Jason, you helped write this, right?
Yeah, Wes and Roman Coppola and myself wrote it, yes.
Very cool. Tell me about the awful title, the Darjeeling Limited. That seems like it's difficult to get your head around.
Well, Darjeeling Limited is the name of the train that the three brothers ride in the film. And we actually shot it on a real moving train all around India.
Oh, no kidding.
It was pretty amazing. Most sets, you know, most people on a train movie, they build like a little train compartment and they rock it back and forth. This was a real train that we'd take out every day, and it was pretty funny because I've never worked on a film before where if you were late to work, the set might not be there.
You miss it. You miss the whole set.
Jason, this is Bean here. I've always wanted to go to India. It's like tops of my list of the countries that I want to visit. But every time I look into it, it always seems like it's either the monsoon season or it's the bugs will kill you season. Is there a good time of year to be in India?
Yeah, I mean, the time that I was there was beautiful. I got there in early November, and I stayed until January, and it was a beautiful time to be there. It wasn't too hot, and it wasn't too cold. And, you know, India, I'm glad that you said you wanted to go there because it's a beautiful country, and it is an amazing place. And it's, you know, it's so exotic, and it's just one of the few exotic places I've ever gotten a chance to go to, and it's so worth it.
It is so weird that we know so little about India. We think of it as being this bizarre, exotic place, and I guess it is. But, I mean, it has a billion people living there. There's a whole lot more of them than there are of us.
Yeah, there's a lot of people there. That's one of the first things you notice when you step off the plane is that there are people whizzing by you a million times a second. And it's insane. But it's beautiful. Dude. That's what's great about it. I hope, you know, you better like Indian food.
Really?
There's not much else going on culinary-wise.
You think that's important when going to India?
Huh?
You think that's important when going to India?
I think if you have a taste for curry, it's going to help you.
I understand. I got you.
I was there for 3 months, so I don't know if I could really look at a lentil again for a couple years. But
mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure. This is the voice of our friend Jason Schwartzman on the line. We're talking about the Darjeeling Limited, which opens up everywhere on Friday, which definitely looks like it's worth going to see. Hey, something else I want to bring up real quick, Jason. I ordered your CD online.
Oh, you did?
You got the new Night Timing out. You know, Jason has got a career as a musician on the side, and I bought it through the website, and I got a free Polaroid. Apparently, you send out a free Polaroid with every CD. What's that about?
Well, basically, my band is called Coconut Records, and the idea behind it is it's just me and singing these songs that I wrote and playing these instruments, and I put it out on my own record label. And because, you know, I don't have the money that a lot of these big labels have to do great packaging and all that stuff, I was trying to think of something that I could do for the fans that if they actually spent money and bought the record, that they would have something that was nice. And what I did was I went out and took 2,000 Polaroid pictures myself. So so that each person who buys the CD gets an individual Polaroid, that, and there's no other one like it in the world. They
How
have
about
their own
that?
Picture.
What a great
that's
idea!
Cool.
Oh yeah, no, it's really nice, and it's been great. Like the response from fans, they are so excited about it, and it's really fun. And I hope to play around LA. I played a show at the Roxy with my brother's band Rooney a couple of months ago, and I hope to maybe play some more shows with them soon.
Cool. Well, congratulations on that. I like it very, very much. And now I have a piece of original Jason Schwartzman art to hang on the wall with my John Wayne Gacy paintings.
Oh, boy.
Wow. You're in good company. Jason,
I'm so happy that you bought it. Thank you.
Jason, I do have one clip from the Darjeeling Limited. It's when you guys are out in the middle of the desert and you're lost and the train's gone. And you have no idea what's going on. You're all trying to figure it out.
Brendan, what's going on?
I don't know. I guess the train's lost.
What'd he say? He says the train's lost. How can a train be lost? It's on rails.
Apparently we took a wrong turn at some point last night.
That's crazy.
How far off course are we?
Nobody knows. We haven't located us yet.
What'd you just say?
We haven't located us yet.
Ah! Is that symbolic? We haven't located us yet.
That's the kind of movie it's going to be right there.
I really think that if you have brothers or siblings of any kind, this movie really is for you, because it really, I think, nails the tension and dynamic between brothers, the ability to love someone so much that you want to kill them.
No, sure.
The Darjeeling Limited is the film. It opens up Friday. Jason, you know we love you, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Junkie Ride.
This is so exciting because I listen to you every morning. That is the truth, because I live in Los Angeles, and this is so much fun for me to be on your show. As always,
cool.
It's such a pleasure for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason.
Bye.
Bye.
You know, it occurred to us last week, Kevin, that we've not caught up with our pal John Madden since the NFL season began. So we asked Lightning to line him up for us, and apparently we have a connection to the bus. Apparently we're going to talk to Mr. Madden whiling his way across the U.S. highway system on a bus right now.
Hey, John, good morning.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Very good. How are you?
I mean, it's one of those days where you think, hey, it was yesterday, and now it's today, and boom, I can't believe I made it.
I don't know what that means, but we're glad to talk to you. John, I know you love football and it's your life and has been since you were a teenager, but there has to come a time where you wake up and go, I am still on the goddamn bus. Let me go home.
Yeah, I mean, I do say that sometimes, but then I think, hey, this is a great bus, and this is the bus that it was designed for me, and I mean, they got those power flush toilets and everything.
Right. No.
I mean, everything. You know, sometimes you don't finish your dinner, so you got to flush them down. But I think that, you know, that's what life is like for me, and it's what it is, and it's what I've chosen to do. And when you choose to do something, I mean, you know, you just got to, you know.
Right. Do you bring your wife with you on the road, or do you just whore around when you're out there going from city to city?
It is pretty much whoring.
Okay.
Wow.
That's what I
don't want to picture that.
That's what I thought.
Now, do you drive your bus, you know, downtown and pick up hookers, or do you go through the phone book?
Well, you do a little wave, you know, you go down, you got the bus, and you're like, hey, how's it going? And she's like, hey, what a good time. I'm like, yeah, you get the game. And it's just, you know, you don't know what is going to happen. You don't know what it is or what will happen. But when you think about it, it's just good to be a part of it.
Sure. Okay.
Sure. Yeah. Now, last night you were calling the New York Giants were playing a peewee team called the Philadelphia Eagles. And there were 12 sacks against Philadelphia in the game, which just has never happened and will never happen and should never have happened. What, I mean, were you just laughing up there in the booth?
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing you think, how many sacks? I mean, you get to 10 and then you're like, there can't be any more, and then boom, there's 11, and then boom, there's 12. I mean, at that point, you're doing algebra. It's like X plus 1 equals the next number, and the final number was 12.
I think isn't it just addition? Just 11 plus 1?
That's one way to go. I mean, if you look at it the easy way, but if you look at it the real way,
I see.
I think that, you know, you end up with a carton of eggs.
Sure. Okay. So the Eagles surprising many by not being the team that they were predicted to be in the preseason. Who else has surprised you this year, Coach?
You know, I think that there's a lot of teams that are surprising. You know, one team that doesn't surprise me. You have any idea?
Green Bay Packers. Green Bay Packers. Brett
Favre. Yes! Brett Favre's back, and your defense is in trouble. Hey, now! My Brett Favre's back.
Now, do you think the Green Bay Packers actually have a shot at winning a Super Bowl?
I already gave it to them. They say, don't play the rest of the year. Let Brett Favre hold that Lombardi trophy up right now, because I mean, bringing it back to Green Bay.
But that's part of it, is getting through the rest of the games and still, you know, being healthy enough to win.
Yeah, well, I mean, then you could be disappointed. But right now, if it was four games that you played and the third game was the last regular season, the fourth game was the Super Bowl.
Right, but it's not.
Well, yeah, but that, I mean, that's the thing. It isn't. But if it was, that's what I'm trying to get to right now. If it was,
okay,
you're killing me on this. I mean, I'm trying to say that. I don't think you see my analogy.
I'm not getting it.
Yeah, well,
I'm sorry, John.
Yeah, it doesn't usually make sense, and this is nothing new.
Okay.
Now, Brett Favre has never looked happier than he has been this season. Not just winning, but he's setting all these personal records, most touchdowns ever. I mean, the guy is just having the time of his life right now. And I just want to know when you and he are going to move to a state where gay marriage is allowed.
Yeah, that would be something, wouldn't it? Yeah. I mean, that would be a Broke Packer Mountain right there. I think, you know, I have the time of my life. That's the only verse I know on that one.
That's good.
What about the, I mean, look, you can look at the Patriots and go, okay, they're great. We expect they'll be undefeated. The Colts, obviously, Super Bowl chess. What about the freaking Dallas Cowboys? Where did they come out to be 4-0?
Well, you look at this team and you say, hey, these guys are pretty good. And maybe, you know, a guy like Bill Parcells, maybe he's too old school for this team. I mean, Tony Romo, you know, a snap over his head yesterday. He goes to get it. He runs around. He farves it into, you know, to the receiver's hand. I mean, that's what, that's what football is. And that's what playing football is. That's why it's the Never Figure League. And I don't know why I always say that. I think it has to do with initials and matching up with the NFL. But I think that, because it's National Football League.
Right.
I mean, you know, I just changed a couple of the words, you know, but I still use the N, the F, and the L. I mean, you could probably get in trouble if you went with wrong word in one of those, but I think that as long as you're
John,
you're,
what are you talking about?
I have no idea.
Why is lightning flashing a light at us? What is going on
here? He's saying Linus is on hold. Linus,
does he okay?
Yeah,
does he need it? He needs to talk to us right now,
Linus.
Kevin of the Kevin DeBean Show. This is your personal assistant, Linus.
I don't have a personal assistant.
I'm sorry to bother you at work, Kevin of the Kevin DeBean Show, but it's very important that we talk.
Yes,
I have some urgent issues that we must address.
Okay,
is everything okay, Linus?
Is this the other one?
Yes, Bean.
Okay, you don't talk so much, okay?
Okay.
This is for me and the Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show. And the woman should be quiet, too.
Wow. All right.
Wow, Linus. Okay.
Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show, you know it's an honor for me to work for you. You know I believe you are the greatest radio personality there is operating today in the Los Angeles area.
Sure.
But I really have to take umbrage at what's going on with the way you're treating your children with your wife gone.
What are you talking about?
You have some serious parenting issues I think we need to address.
What are you talking about?
Well, first of all, do they know that your wife left you in charge of the household?
Well, I wanted to ask about this, Linus, because Kevin's wife seems to be gone a lot lately. Are you sure she hasn't just divorced him?
Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show's wife, Kevin's wife of the Kevin and Kevin and Bean Show, has not divorced him, no.
Okay.
Because she needs the money. She needs the money to keep coming in. She's going to stick with him. She's going to tough it out, but she is going to try to be gone as much as possible, I believe.
All right, so she's gone this week, and what you're saying is that I'm now in charge of the house, and that scares you.
Yes, and I come to the house here, and I come to take care of the children while you're at work, Kevin and Kevin Bean Show on the Kevin and Kevin Bean Show.
Yes.
And I find them in the backyard, each of them in their own separate dog loos.
Oh,
what?
Kevin, you can't leave your kids in a dog loo.
With a bowl of water next to a bowl of Chex Mix.
That's not even funny.
Breakfast.
I left them Chex.
I know you left them Chex Mix, but that's not a balanced breakfast. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day, Kevin and Kevin Camicho.
That's not even funny.
They told me for dinner all weekend all you gave them was a ride of tater tots frozen. frozen, in the bag, frozen. You gave them some toothpicks and say, make potato sickles.
Well, they're crunchier that way.
That's not a food.
Kevin, if you can't cook, you at least have to take the kids out or order it or something. You can't just give them frozen stuff right out of the freezer.
They're crunchier that way.
Also, you have to learn their names. I know you have trouble knowing their names, but going down to Kat Von D's and having their names tattooed on their faces is not a proper way to raise children.
Now, in Kevin's defense, Lettuce, there are two of them, and it's a lot to keep straight.
I know, but she used the nostrils for the two G's and Maggie.
That can't look good.
And Kat Von D is hot, so
I know Kevin and Kevin to be Joe, but you have to think about your children's sake.
Okay.
Think of their sake. Mm-hmm. And first of all, I want to say I did not mind going to see the game plan this weekend.
You didn't go to the game.
Oh, that's
I know
what
you
happened.
Ordered me to take your girls to the game plan, and I did. But yeah. I have to admit, I'm a little disappointed. You think with The Rock, and he's a football player, there'd be one locker room scene.
Not one?
Not one locker room scene. I was very disappointed.
Yeah.
This is very interesting because Kevin made us all think on Friday that he was going to take the bullet, be the good dad, take the kids to the game plan. Now we see that he just palmed it off on you, Linus.
Well, since I work for Kevin and the Kevin and the Bean Show, I do whatever Kevin and the Kevin and the Bean Show asked me to do.
Sure.
And he says go to the game plan. I say, Kevin and Kevin and the Bean Show, I'm going to the game plan. And I was looking forward to it until I saw that how horrible the movie was.
Yeah.
Yes, I understand.
And I have
certainly.
To remind you, Kevin and the Kevin and the Bean Show, I know this weekend you washed your kids' clothes, and I was very proud of you to do that.
Thank you.
But you must dry the clothes in the dryer. Do not dry the clothes in the microwave. While the girls are wearing them.
Kevin.
Not a good idea.
Linus.
They get steamy. You don't want your girls to get steamy to come to Beach Hall.
They look cool that way, though.
And also, how's your head?
My head is pounding.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Did you tell them what you did?
I didn't, no.
Kevin and Kevin to Beach Hall walked into a garage door this weekend and knocked himself out.
Oh, no. You're kidding.
Oh, my God.
I did. I didn't see it. I wasn't looking. And
the garage was partially closed. And Kevin at the Kevin Beach Show thought it was partially open.
Yeah.
And hit his head and knocked himself unconscious.
How long
Ouch.
Were you out?
I think just a couple seconds. But I was on the ground, and I was like, how did I get down here?
Wow.
That's why I can't remember his girl's name. Hence the tattoos. Please, Kevin and the Kevin and the Beach Show, ask your Kevin's wife of the Kevin and Kevin and the Beach Show to please come home.
Okay. I will.
Because I'm only one man.
Okay, thank you, Linus.
And now, a moment with Bean.
And the Dodgers are, you know, being as good as they need to be to stay in first place right now, and it's no small because of him, you know?
Would you say it's no small because of him?
That's right.
That was a moment with Bean.
Wow. Oh, we just found that one. We didn't realize we had that. That's good.
Wow.
And the Dodgers are in first place. That must be
old tape.
It's an old tape, yeah.
That is Kevin-esque. I think you'd have to agree with me, boys.
Yeah.
It's 7:51. Very funny man. Very talented actor. Anthony Anderson from the TV show called K-ville. I thought that was going to be about Knoxville when I saw it on the schedule, by the way. Why is it called K-ville, Kevin? You watched the show.
Katrinaville, right?
No.
Is that why? Because of Katrina?
It is in New Orleans post-Katrina.
Yeah.
That's where it's set, but I didn't know why it was
Katrinaville, man.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Well, we'll talk to you at the top of the hour.
7:51. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat for Monday morning.
Speaking of Kevin and Bean. Mm-hmm. But mostly Kevin. I think we found out what's wrong with him. I think we diagnosed him.
What are you talking about?
Later this week, we're going to save your life.
What are you talking about?
We've discovered what you have, and we're going to cure you.
You've discovered what I have?
Yes.
What's making me the way I am?
Yes.
Homosexuality.
Is
it hitting his head on the garage door and being knocked unconscious, as Linus just revealed to us?
I think that may have helped him. I think it might be one of those sitcom moments where Kevin gets really smart now because he smashed his head in a garage door.
Now I'm brilliant.
Wow.
What, are we having an intervention?
I'm just saying, I think we found what your problem is. I think we can help you out.
Kevin, do you remember when you determined that I had Asperger's syndrome, even though I don't?
Which you do, 100%.
Which you do, by the way.
We may
know what your syndrome is.
Now I think Ralph has really done the research and found something that could explain what's going on with you, and I think you'll be very interested to hear about it.
Yes, we'll
fantastic.
Have a specialist in later this week.
Alcohol?
That's part of
no?
it.
No?
Sure.
All right.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, shall we? The game plan. Which Kevin sent his personal assistant to take his daughters to this weekend. $22.7 million it made. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money for a dog and a tutu. The Kingdom was number two at the box office, made $17.7 million. Resident Evil Extinction was number three.
Was it not good? Because it's got a tremendous cast, Kevin. Jennifer Garner, your Jamie Foxx, Jason Bateman. Yeah. Come on.
Has a great premise. The worst part of it was the actual movie.
Hmm.
It wasn't horrible. It just wasn't nearly as good as you thought it would be with that cast and that idea.
I don't know how you guys feel, but I find that Jamie Foxx is often not good.
I agree.
He didn't let this movie down, though, I don't think.
I mean, he was brilliant and Ray and deserved his Oscar.
Yeah.
But often I find him to be way overacting and sort of distractingly theatrical sometimes.
I think he overacts in real life, too, by the way.
That's very possible. Resident Evil's number three. Good Luck Chuck, number four. 3:10 to Yuma, number five. The Brave One, number six. Then Mr. Woodcock came in at number seven. Eastern Promises was eight. Sydney White, number nine. And Across the Universe
was number 10. I'm sorry to see Dragon Wars drop out of the top 10. I know that much. I was hoping for good things for that movie.
Saw Shadow of the Moon this weekend, guys.
Oh, Shadow of the Moon.
Of course you did.
What's that? That's the astronaut one?
Yeah, the documentary about the Apollo astronaut program.
How
was it? So good.
Fake.
Well, my boyfriend Buzz Aldrin is in it, for starters, so you know I had to go see that.
Fake.
It's pretty remarkable. You do get goosebumps when you see what they went through to put a man on the moon and how dicey it was getting
man
up there and
the
back.
Moon. Man on the moon.
Like NASA must have put a gun to them head to make it.
Like they say in the movie, though, if you're going to fake it, why do you fake it 9 times by going back to the moon that often? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, you got to fake it before you can make it.
Mm. Well, there is that. So I recommend the documentary. It's very, very well done.
Fake.
Yeah. Britney Spears isn't letting a little thing like getting drug tested twice a week stop her from partying. If you look at the London Sun British tabloid, you'll see newly printed pictures of Britney in the back of a car drinking and holding a mojito.
Nice.
I didn't even know they had drive-through mojito stands anymore, but I'm glad to know. Last time she was going through Taco Bell. Can I get a mojito with that supersize?
I'm hot.
Speaking of Britney, TMZ.com has got some photos of her going out with her kids last night in Malibu to a Greek restaurant called Taverna Tony's. Apparently it was her, Sean Preston, little Jaden James showing up for a quick dinner. Here's the thing. People inside the restaurant said she sat there and the two Federline boys would just not stop crying through the entire meal.
Oh, no.
You ever sat next to one of those tables?
Oh, yeah. Makes you want to take your life.
You've got the children just going off and the parents just completely disconnect and don't care at all.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Did you guys see the cover of one of the tabloids where it had the two kids and it said, Mommy, why are you crying? Or something, something like that. It was brilliant.
Speaking of covers, you've seen the cover of New Maxim magazine?
Who's on it?
Erica Durance, who plays Lois Lane on Smallville.
I have seen that.
No.
Holy Toledo. Good times right there.
All right, then.
Holy mackerel indeed, Psycho Mike. Sad news this weekend. Moneypenny's died. Moneypenny from the James Bond movies, Lois Maxwell, who played Moneypenny in 14 Bond movies, passed away over the weekend. She was 80 years old. She was Moneypenny for Sean Connery, then, of course, for Roger Moore. She later went on to be Miss Moneypenny for The Bad One.
Timothy Dalton.
And then her last Bond movie. Oh, I'm sorry, her last Bond movie was A View to a Kill, actually. It was the last one, was with Roger Moore. She died at 80 years old, so.
I know Bond was always flirting with her as he came in to talk to the boss, but did he ever nail her up?
Nope.
Nope?
Nope, you don't poop where you eat. That was Bond's motto. You don't poop where you eat. He said that in almost every movie. I remember him saying that. It's very entertaining. It's rare in Hollywood to see someone celebrating their virginity. That's what Adriana Lima is doing.
Nope.
Victoria's Secret supermodel.
I hate her.
26-year-old stunner told GQ magazine that she's waiting until her wedding night to share her goods.
Are you kidding me?
Yep. The idea seems to be catching on. Apparently, a Hollywood-based psychologist said celibacy is on the upswing. And says it's a positive way for young women to hold on to their power and independence.
Right, but when you're that hot, aren't you really the world's? I mean, shouldn't you be owned by the world?
Yes.
Really? You gotta share that.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm no school administrator, but there's an extension program going on in my trousers.
That's what I'm talking about.
Ralph, you used to host the Sex U on the Kevin and Bean Show back when it was good.
Oh, yes, the good old days.
Yeah. Don't you think that a young woman has a responsibility to get a little bit of experience so that she can give her husband good sex after they get married?
Absolutely. It's your wifely duty to be the best lover you can be to your husband when you finally do make that choice. So if you don't know what you're doing, you're fumbling around in the dark under the sheets. First of all, he'll probably divorce you. Probably leave you. Probably won't even divorce you. Just walk out on you.
Oh, my God, you guys.
Not if you're going to
leave you flat. So the best thing you can do is have as much sex as possible before you get married so you know exactly what you're doing to please your man once marriage happens.
Look how much research Lisa did, for instance, before she got married.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
And I'm still... Not really. So much. But you...
You know how that
but
works.
Kevin... Never
mind. John Mayer seems to be playing the field. He does pretty well with
he
ladies.
Seems like it.
Source with People magazine says he's currently seeing actress Minka Kelly.
Oh, damn him to hell.
Apparently stars on something called Friday Niggits.
Friday Night Lights. Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, like that's a TV show.
It is,
like,
yeah.
Like anyone's watching that.
We're trying to get her on this week to talk about Friday Night Lights. Now if she's in the tabloids with John Mayer, she won't come on because she'll think that's what we want to talk to her about.
Yeah. Instead, we wanted to think we're talking about her failing TV series.
Oh, that we want to have her that show rocks, Ralph.
All right.
This is a good show.
You say so.
This is the year, man. This year it's going to catch fire. Is Friday it? Night, man, nothing but hits on Friday night.
You see
that's
that?
Where that's where the network puts a show when they want it to just catch fire.
You've seen that in history.
Bean is transferring his pointless Seattle Mariners optimism to Friday Night Lights now.
That's
what
he's
doing. He just transferred it. Michelle Rodriguez is in trouble again.
Oh, my gosh.
No bell.
Yeah, no bell.
Really?
Nobel Peace Prize right there. TMZ.com has obtained documents that were filed Thursday in Los Angeles Superior Court, which claims that she has been neglecting to complete the terms of her probation for her DUI, hit and run, and driving on a suspended license charges.
Uh-oh.
See, when the courts ask you to do something,
then you
regarding
is
your probation, no, it's pretty much an order. They tell you you have to do it or else face the consequences. Her consequences? She could serve 537 days in jail. If she doesn't make things right, so.
But well, she's been to jail before. Yeah. Apparently no biggie for her.
She's not. Of course, she's like, rrr.
Yeah.
She's all, walks around going, rrr. She's got no problems. And Kate Hudson is quite the little minx these days since her split. You know, she was dating Dax Shepard when her former boyfriend Owen Wilson tried to off himself.
Right.
Apparently she's moved on from Dax now. She's moving up the celebrity food chain. She was spotted in New York with her new boyfriend, billionaire Ron Burkle. Now, with a name like Ron Burkle, it's got to be good.
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't know who Ron Burkle is, but he's the new one.
He's a billionaire.
And Pam Anderson's ready to get married again. Although her marriage to Kid Rock ended only 10 months ago. She has gotten herself a marriage license in Las Vegas with her new boyfriend, Rick Solomon.
I like meat.
Rick Solomon, of course, made legendary in the Paris Hilton celebrity sex tape.
That was her boyfriend, right?
Yeah.
In that tape.
Yep. And now it's Pam Lee's boyfriend.
What is wrong with
Pam
her?
Pam Anderson, rather. I have no idea. They've got the license, according to all the sources, but they have up to a year to use it, so no word on when they actually will be getting married.
It sounds to me like we can look forward to another Pam Anderson sex tape, though.
Oh, that's
certainly
true.
Hope so.
You put those two together, there's got to be a movie in it.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
And lastly, if you're a Radiohead fan, it's good news for you. Radiohead is giving away their new album.
Giving it away?
Yeah. It's got to be good if they're giving it away, right?
They do good work.
Apparently, they don't have a record label now. So what they're going to do is take their new album and put it up on their website, and you get to download it. For free, they're asking you to pay whatever you want to pay for it.
What you think it's worth?
Well, just whatever you're willing to cough up for it.
But if you download,
if you're a big fan, you really want to support the band, then give them $100 for it.
But if you pay nothing,
you pay just the credit card handling fee. That's it. Just the charge.
Think that'll work?
I think it will. I think it will, because here's the thing: Prince did the same thing. He gave away his album 3121 in England. Through a newspaper there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when he announced his 21 tour dates in London, all of them sold out because everyone had heard the new music and liked it.
Oh, wow.
Because there's no downside to downloading the music and taking a listen.
I think he's playing huge places there, too.
Yeah, he sold them out.
Wow.
But Radiohead hasn't played to an empty seat in years. It's not like they need to do something like this to stay current or popular.
Well, how about it could be a tease for their box set, which they are going to be selling on their website as well, which includes this new album on CD, two vinyl records, a CD with additional songs, photos, artwork, and lyrics. And that is a pretty pricey deal, but they think that if people like the music, they might buy the brand new actual hard unit box set. So, but yeah, so if you're a Radiohead fan, October 10th is the day it can be downloaded. Officially, so you can check that out on their website.
It's a week from tomorrow. That's great news to have new Radiohead music.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Cindy Margolis, most downloaded woman on the internet at one time. She is 42 years old today. Isai Morales, who played Tony Rodriguez, my captain on NYPD Blue, or my lieutenant, rather, or whatever. I don't know. I never met the guy. We never had a scene together, so I have no idea who he played on NYPD Blue. He's 45 years old today. Randy Quaid, character actor, very talented guy, brother, of course, to Dennis Quaid, 57 years old today. Stephen Collins from Seventh Heaven is 60 years old. And Julie Andrews from Sound of Music, from Mary Poppins, from those other movies she did that she was very British and nice. She's 72 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Here's what we know about our intern, Shaolin Robot. I've been keeping track because she's a wealth of fun.
Okay.
Shaolin Robot, her favorite TV show was The Loop. That aired once.
That's right.
She was driving her van to work. She peeled out, going up the tiny incline into the K-Rock parking lot. She goes dumpster diving about once a week for food. Mm-hmm. Her dad doesn't talk to her. She doesn't know what her dad did for a living. She doesn't know what his tattoos mean. She's a bouncer at events at UCLA. She had one person ask to see her manager because she was, quote, too physical.
And keep in mind, she's 5 feet tall, maybe 90 pounds.
One time she was talking to all of us in the office, and she disappeared like a ninja. We were like, what? How could she possibly have gotten away? And she's the one who said that if she sleeps with one guy, she'll have to sleep with everyone.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think she even understood our explanation to her as to why that wasn't necessarily the case. But Shaolin Robot, intern extraordinaire here at the Kevin DeMeade Show, joins us back in the studio. Good morning, Shao. How are you?
Good morning, good.
And there's a little bit of a delay whenever you talk to Shao for some reason. And every statement that comes out of her mouth is in the form of a question, too, which is something I still don't understand about Shao.
So Friday we're talking after the show, and Shao says, I have an idea, everybody. And we say, okay, what is it? And she says, how about stalking? And we said, any further explanation there? Stalking? Because she said she's a stalker. Shao, what did you tell us? You are a stalker.
Yeah, I'm a stalker.
Uh-huh.
I like to stalk people.
Right. I think people know what that means.
I like to stalk them.
Okay. So we said, give us an example.
You know, just like follow them back from class, looking through their MySpace profiles all the time.
Right.
But Shao, let me ask you this, because I don't know much about stalking, but it seems like if you're a girl and you're a very attractive, very personable young woman, it seems like if there's a guy that you're interested in, it would be fairly easy for you to initiate a conversation with him. You don't really have to stalk them.
I think stalking is much easier than talking to a guy.
Well, that's true, but it doesn't really get you anywhere.
So tell us about going room to room in the dorm.
So we have this dorm, it's 9 floors, maybe like 50 rooms per floor.
So you followed him back to that building so you knew he lived there?
I know he lives there, but I didn't know what room he was in.
So what'd you do?
Check all the rooms.
You went physically to all 50 rooms on all 9 floors?
It's only like 450 rooms.
Well, what, did he live in the last one? Is that why you had to go to all of them? Because if he lived on the 3rd floor, you wouldn't have to go to the 6 above it.
But I didn't know where he lived, so I had to check all the rooms.
Okay, did you find out where he lived then?
No.
No?
I must have missed it. Because he has a nickname.
What's his nickname? What do you mean you must have missed it because he has a nickname? What does that mean? What does that mean?
You know how people are usually, you know, like they call themselves Chris, but their full name is Christopher?
Sure.
And then they have Christopher on the door, and then you get totally thrown off.
Oh, I see. So you don't know where he lived because of his name might have been different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Shao, assistant producer Alex Superhort tells me that you're in a class with this guy.
Yeah, I was in a that's how I fell in love with him.
Okay.
But say hi, then, instead of walking up 9 flights of stairs to look for his room. Just say hi to the dude.
No, saying hi would be creepy.
Creepy?
Wait.
And stalking isn't.
It is to the person being stalked.
Wait a minute. Stalking isn't creepy?
Well, if he doesn't know he's being stalked, it's not creepy.
Okay, but if you're not going to talk to him, Shao, then explain to me, please, what you get out of knowing what room he's in. How does that information help you?
Yeah, because we asked, then what? You just sit outside of his room and wait for him or something? She's like, no.
See, normal social interaction, I don't have time for that. So if I stalk, I can stalk on my own time.
Okay, so wait. So let me see if I've got this right. You don't have 15 seconds to say hi, but you have time to go to 450 rooms and try and find out where he lives.
See, I could stalk on my own time.
Right, you just said that.
And talking to him would just be really awkward.
Because you like him and he doesn't know that? That whole dynamic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you think he would like you, though?
Why would I think he would like me?
Why don't you think he would like you? I mean, I like you. Kevin likes you. Mike likes you. Why do you think this guy would like you?
Although Mike's turning on you, I have to be honest.
I think it's just easier if you stalk him and then you get to know all his friends or all the classes he's in or all his interests.
At some point, though, does the stalking intersect with the real life where you actually talk to him? Or is it just safer to like from a distance?
I don't know. I have no intent of being in a relationship, but I like that feeling of, you know, having someone in your mind where you can think about them all the time.
Right, but but you don't like the feeling that maybe they might like you back and think about you all the time? Because that's even better, turns out.
I never really thought
about
that.
You've never heard of that, have you?
No.
Yeah.
Someone
like
that.
Are you afraid that if you talk to one guy, then you'll have to talk to all the guys?
Let's say good morning to Elizabeth in Whittier.
Yeah.
You're just like Shaolin?
So serious. Yes, definitely.
So you would, so you stalk. You would spend so much more time stalking than just talking to.
Seriously. I'm a single mom, so it's like I kind of don't have free time. But when I do have that free time, I'd rather just like spend it wisely than just talking to somebody.
What does that mean, spend it wisely? Why would you rather not talk to someone?
I don't know, because then they're going to talk to you, and then they'll be calling you. And I don't know, I guess because I've had stalkers before, I just don't, I'd rather be a stalker now.
What is going on with these women?
Because it was so much fun for you to be stalked? Why would you want to do that? It must have been a nightmare.
It was. I think maybe it's just I'd rather not talk to guys, so I'd rather not them know that I like them.
Okay, so you do, but
it's so weird.
But as a single mother, I could see how you don't have rooms for ties in your life. Like, I could see that that would be complicated.
Definitely.
But
definitely.
Shaolin, our intern robot, doesn't have that.
She's a college student.
Yeah, she's young, hot, and Asian. She should be out there.
I'm right there with her. I'm young, hot, and not Asian.
All right. Well, you're bad, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, let me just ask you this. Shaolin gave us an example of the types of stuff she does to stalk. MySpace, visiting the building where he lives. What kinds of stuff do you do when you've got a guy on your mind?
I'm not going to go to, like, 500 rooms looking for Chris.
She went to 450 rooms looking to see where he lives.
I would, like, drive by, like, a proximate neighborhood, but I'm not going to go door to door, like, hey, buddy.
Well, you're way better then.
Hey, but I'm close.
All right, Elizabeth, you're bad.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks for calling. Wow.
So, Shao, I think what we're saying is stop it. I think that's the message here today.
I think that a lot of people stalk, not just me. It's just a natural thing that you do.
Well, more people, I'm guessing, if they like somebody, would approach and try to talk and just hang out and see if there's any kind of a connection.
But a
especially
lot of,
when you're the girl.
Yeah.
I can understand if you're the guy and you know you're going to get rejected, or if you're the girl and you're fat and you think you're going to get rejected. But there's no reason for you to expect you're going to get rejected. You should be talking to this dude.
But a lot of college guys are douches, so if I don't talk to him... Like, I could just imagine him, you know, as a, you know, perfect Prince Charming in my mind.
I see. And that substitutes for real person-to-person contact in your life.
I would be disappointed if he was a douche and I started talking to him.
Lisa, help us out here. You're the woman.
I can't help her.
Talk to your daughter.
She wants to live in fantasy land.
She
doesn't want anything to do with reality. She's much happier there.
Well,
you have to leave her there.
Okay.
You can go to krock.com, go to the Kevin Amin video page if you're now deeply in love with Shaolin Robot. And why wouldn't you be? You can see her singing her song Shaolin Rain if you want to know what she looks like.
Let me go to Andrew real quick in Lakewood. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
Hey, is Shaolin fat?
No. Mm-hmm.
No, not at all. That's what I'm saying. She should be. Yeah, she's tiny.
Dude, I want to stalk her. What's up with that?
You want her to stalk you?
I would like to stalk her. That's awesome. Why doesn't she just tell this dude she's stalking him? He'd probably think it's hot.
Shall?
I think he would think it would be...
Oh, really? A little creepy?
Yeah,
how about
a little,
that?
Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, awesome.
If a hot chick walked up to me and said, hey, I've been stalking you, I'd be like, lady, let's go. What the hell?
All right, Andrew, I'm going to put you on hold. We'll take your address.
All right, no problem.
All right, Shall will be by tonight.
She doesn't want lady, let's go. That's the last thing she wants.
So you live in a little cartoon world. That's what you're telling us.
I'm just saying, what if I start talking to him and then he has like this weird lisp or whatever, and then
you're worried about a weird lisp?
And then that would, you know, divert from my perfect image of him, you know, reciting Shakespeare to me without a lisp and a British accent.
Okay.
And a British accent.
I think we'll end it here. Thank you, Shal.
I think it's fair to say that our next guest, Anthony Anderson, is the only actor who was in Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle and The Departed. Do you think that's likely that he's the only guy for both?
I'm going to go with yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Transformers, by the way.
And, of course, K-Ville Monday nights at 9. That's the show everybody's talking about on the Fox Network. Anthony Anderson on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Anthony.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How you doing?
Good to talk to you.
I'm all right. Kevin, Bean, Lisa, how you doing this morning?
Doing
good.
Great.
Now, where are you? Are you shooting, and do you do that in New Orleans?
I'm in New Orleans right now. I actually stay in a realtor's office and to work.
You're breaking up a little.
I think he's in a realtor's office.
Oh, is that I'm in my realtor's office. Hey, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Well, yeah.
Kinda, you're breaking in.
Sort of, yeah.
On and off, yeah.
Hey, Anthony, I'm sure you get asked this all the time, but we haven't spoken with too many people on the ground in New Orleans lately. But how's it going down there?
It's going all right, man. I mean, you know, it's a little disheartening in some places. You can imagine the Lord and the Lord and you know, the parishes around there, especially years later.
Hey, Anthony, you're going to have to – let's hang up and call back because we can't understand enough of your words.
Oh, okay.
Okay, cool. Bye.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much. I understand that he is, you know, because he's filming this TV show down there, this cable is actually living down there. So, you know, he's spending a lot of time in the New Orleans area.
I got to tell you, my wife who runs the charity, she did some stuff in New Orleans, and it is depressing how long it's taking for it to come back because, let's face it.
How much hasn't gotten done?
Just demolished. And in this show, he's playing a cop. And imagine being a policeman in New Orleans and half of them quit when Katrina hit and all that stuff. Oh, yeah. And now it's post-Katrina.
Never came back.
Yeah.
It's really, really kind of disheartening. But this is a very interesting show because his character is a cop who's trying to bring it back the way it should be. You know, and he's not moving even though everybody wants him to move and the whole deal.
Yeah.
And there has to be a certain element of the people feeling like lawlessness is the way it works now because of everything being turned upside down. And that would be difficult not only for Anthony's character on the show but for the cops in real life. All right, Anthony, you back, dude?
I'm back, man. As you can tell, they only have one cell site up here in New Orleans, so that's how we're in and out.
Perfect.
Freaking, I'm sure that's somehow FEMA's fault, too, by the way.
Of course it is. You know, we blame everything on FEMA down here.
Now, I was saying as you were calling back that I read somewhere, and tell me if this is wrong, that because you're filming the show down there, you and your wife were actually living down there for quite a bit of the year now, right?
Well, you know, only me. The family's still in Los Angeles, but I'm here for 9 months for the whole television season.
Nine months, wow.
Yeah, it takes us eight days to shoot one episode, 14 hours a day, at least 5 days a week, Monday through Friday.
And what attracted you to this this particular show?
You know, the fact that it's a one-hour drama, and, you know, I'm the lead character, and the character was so complex. I've rarely had the opportunity and the chance to portray a character like this because I've been mostly known for my comedies. But
right.
You know, The Departed helped in that. Hustle and Flow helped in that. And my stint on The Shield helped in this as well. So Fox had come to me and given me this offer. I read the script. I thought it was a great story. I thought it was timely. And the character is just so complex and being pulled in so many different directions that I jumped at the opportunity to portray this character, Marlon Boulay, every week.
In the first episode, your partner at the time, it's right after Katrina and you're having all kinds of problems and he just runs. He just gets in his car and drives away.
Yeah.
I forgot we're being censored right now.
Yeah.
I was about to call him what I really wanted to call him.
no doubt you've spoken with, and I know this is the case every time you do a TV show where you're playing a police force member, but you've probably talked to a lot of people who actually have that job down in New Orleans. What do they tell you about it and what it's like now versus what it was like before Katrina in terms of them doing their job?
You know, it's like trying to bring order back into chaos. You know, my guy SWAT on the show, so I actually do ride-alongs with SWAT in the middle of the night. We do midnight raids, man, and because of riding along with these officers, I have a newfound appreciation and respect for every man and woman who puts on a badge and uniform just to see what they do, in particular here in New Orleans, in light of everything that's going on, man. As you can imagine, it was chaos. It's not as chaotic as it once was, you know, a year or so ago. But, you know, they still have their challenges. But you know, they're keeping the city moving. They're keeping everybody safe and enjoying it as well. You know, these are some of the unsung heroes and a lot of cool cats to hang with as well.
Now, you're not going to turn into Shaquille O'Neal and end up being a sheriff's deputy when you quit acting, are you?
No, I'm a felon, so they won't give me a badge or a gun. I can't do that.
Hey, with you being gone all these Monday nights, Kevin, who do you have to give your money to at the poker game? That's my question about Anthony.
How dare you? I took his money.
He takes my money every time we play. And I think something's going on. I'm the only brother at the table.
That is true.
So I don't know and I want to say, Brad Garrett told me that I had to wear all white to the poker game one day.
That did happen
really?
One day, yeah.
So I wore all white. He said, yeah, man, it's an all white party. And I didn't know he meant it was just all white people. I thought he meant we're all white linen. So I show up in all white linen and everybody's wearing blue jeans.
Nice. Yeah.
How is Anthony, Kevin? How is he as a player?
He's funny. He's good. Everybody there is pretty good. But Anthony, you got to show up a little more often. You're not here for 9 months, dude.
Yeah, man, tell me about it, man. Have Brad or Ray send their jet for me, and I'll be there Monday night. No
you know
problem.
What? Just mail me some cash.
That's all I do. I should just show up and just put money on the table, eat the food, and just leave.
Well, I got to tell you, K-Ville is a great new show. It's on Monday nights at 9 on Channel 11, Fox here in Southern California, and I would highly recommend it. Anthony Anderson, the star of the show, thanks for taking some time this morning.
Oh, hey, guys, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for all your support and everything that I do. I really do appreciate that.
You bet, man. Thanks. Stop flapping your gums. Let's talk to Jed the Fish.
Okay.
All right, we can do that, too.
On Friday, we found out that Jed the Fish has some stuff up on YouTube. And we went to Jed the Fish YouTube, and we saw some of the stuff. And we said, we have to call Jed. We need an intervention. Jed?
Yeah.
You're crazy.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Just want to get that out of the way. In front. Now, how long have you been putting stuff up on YouTube?
Well, mainly just this year. Actually, most people on YouTube just joined in the last few months.
Okay.
Right. Now, my first introduction to your work, Jed, was after the Leave Britney Alone Guy video. Ralph came across your response to the Leave Britney Alone Guy video, and this was it in its entirety.
That brought my mind to a complete halt.
That was the extent of the video. Now, what makes you think that and then film that and then put that up on the internet?
Well, they started this new thing where you get to respond immediately.
Right.
You don't create a video and then upload it. You record it and upload it at the same time.
Right.
And what I've noticed is those things get jammed into the system and promoted a little bit more than other videos.
Right.
So that's one of my favorite things to say when that... on those rare occasions when that does happen. There's another band that's done that called The Shags from 1969, and then a band called Coco Rosie that did it out of Coachella last year. But it's something just so strange, my mind freezes.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to play another clip, and I want you to tell us what was going on at the time. Here's Jed the Fish on YouTube.
This looks like a guard tower for killing...
Okay. Jed, what was that? Was that in the fireworks chunk?
Yeah, that was in the fireworks.
Jed is obsessed with fireworks, real fireworks.
Yeah.
And apparently was going to Magic Mountain when they were having some and was driving in the truck and saw something. The guy was in the guy's truck that it was driving, and he asked him this.
What are these, Don? Condoms?
No, that's gum.
Oh, gum.
Gum, yeah. Condoms? No, gum.
Jed, you still have a radio show here on K-Rock, right?
Yeah.
And that's how many hours a day? It's like 3 hours every day you got the radio show?
But I can't finger paint at work.
Okay, that brings us up to another point. Uh-huh. Jed the Fish's new obsession is finger painting. So we went into Mr. Weatherby's office, as we do every day now, because our life blows. And there's like a clock there that we're supposed to follow on K-Rock, and it was finger painting. It looked like, and I said to Mr. Weatherby, did your kids do that? And he said, no, I'll give you two guesses. And I said, one of your kids or the other one of your kids? And he said, nope, Jed the Fish. And Jed finger paints on YouTube and describes it as he films it with one hand and finger paints with the other hand.
We had no idea this was going on.
Well, I finger paint because it feels good, and I like the way it looks. And you can instantly sprout an idea with paint actually on your hands, words and drawings and symbols and mushy patterns. And the other interesting thing about finger painting is you get it twice. While it's wet, it's three-dimensional and vivid color, and then when it's dry, it cracks and it mixes better with other colors.
So. Now, Jed, you know that we like you, right?
I don't know that.
We like you.
We tell you that all the time.
Okay. We've liked you the whole time, but
we've never said a single bad word about you, Jed. You're our favorite person here at K-Rock.
All right, thank you.
But you're a nut job.
Well, at least I'm a conscious nut job.
Okay, that's true. Now, there's also some political stuff on YouTube that Jed put up there after the president of Iran visited.
Well, I got to hand it to Ahmadinejad. As crazy as he is, he just walked into an ambush not knowing what to expect. Our own president of the United States would not face the same crowd at Columbia without editing all questions and comments and having the whole thing rigged.
That is true.
Yeah, it is.
And then Jed, of course, said,
that brought my mind to a complete halt.
Now, but Jed, here's the one that I want to ask you about, because this is the one where I think maybe you've gone bye-bye. What were you talking about with kids' brains?
Oh, the Chuck Rice?
Yeah, what the hell was that?
Yeah, the Chuck Rice is out there for even me.
Okay, listen to this clip and tell me what you think's going on.
But we need your twins' brains. And animal brains, any animals you have around the house that'll do snakes and hamsters and even Chuck Rice. Chuck Rice have brain matter. We need all the brain matter we can get because we have to get on a train and deliver it to Thunderclap.
I'm out.
What was that?
Jed, I gotta go.
What? Jed, what was going on there exactly?
Well, I just finished the seventh book of the Stephen King series, Dark Tower.
Okay. But there's no reference to that.
No.
People think when Mike does his Jed impression on his show that he's exaggerating. He's for comedic effect. Now I realize that Mike needs to crank up his impression. It's not far enough out to be Jed the Fish.
He has to expand his territory a little bit.
Fake Jed, what do you think's going on with real Jed?
It's my aunt Millie in Norwalk has a dog named Barfly, and no matter where we'd put the styrofoam products, the dog would eat it, and it ended up dying. I took the ashes of Barfly to meet with...
We need more mania.
Your hair is stirring me right now.
Carrot you.
Jed, you're the best.
Well, I got you on the phone.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Here to myself, you know, saying, you know, you're doing a little songwriting, you're doing little videos, you're doing finger painting. Why don't you make it meaningful by selling your music, selling your artwork? And then I decided that part of life has passed me by. And it's just as well, because it's getting so that if I pay for recorded music, if I pay for artwork, I'm stupid, unless I really, really love it. But
right.
What most people are paying for is not worth money. Most of what's called album artwork, most people could do themselves.
Okay.
And truthfully, most concert performances I witness are not worth the money. They're just replicating their own work.
Right.
What I get a kick out of is creating something new right on the spot. It's what you guys do every morning.
No.
Like if the Red Hot Chili Peppers wrote music live on stage, I would definitely pay to see that. If Tom Morello, and he's done this, created something one-of-a-kind, new performance, I would definitely pay to see that. I don't think he's written songs on stage, so often, but he recently curated a series of shows at the Hotel Cafe, and it was the known artists doing different versions of their own songs. It was Alice in Chains, Alanis Morissette, Motley Crue, Perry
It's Pearl. On a 6.7 K-Rock. What the hell is this guy on the phone talking about? KQ.
And Serj Tankian, Cypress Hill, and they were actually collaborating. It's not like everybody all in a row doing their bit for K-Rock, but actually changing their music around and collaborating in front of an audience. That's risky, and that's what I want to see.
Hey, Jed.
And that was pretty profound, but go ahead and not acknowledge it.
Jed, I'm going to acknowledge your filibuster with a question, and that is, what would your life have been like without drugs?
Oh, probably wouldn't have been at K-Rock.
Yeah. That's true. You would have had to be fired. Jed, remember when we used to have conversations where we understood each other?
Yeah, but as soon as it gets on a feelings level, you turn around and walk away.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, it's all us. Definitely on us.
All right, Jed, you're the best.
All right. I never get back to sleep now.
All right, bye now.
Sorry.
Bye.
My mind is still spinning from the last interview. That was Jed the Fish, who works here at K-Rock. That's who we were talking to.
We should have him on the show every day.
He's the best.
Every day.
He's the best.
He should do the showbiz beat.
He should do the show instead of us.
He should do the showbiz beat.
He's the best. Okay.
I'll give that up. I will give that up easily. And traffic. He should do traffic, too.
858 KRQ FM, Pasadena, Los Angeles. Coming up after the news at 9, we're going to be talking to a dude who puts on something called Porn Week, where you can learn how the adult video industry works, including being on the set and watching them make a porn movie.
So here's how it works.
Well, there may be more to it than that, Ralph.
Stop with this.
Put the thumb away. Put the thumb away.
Stop with the dirty
right now, time for the showbiz beat for a Monday. Here's Ralph.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, The Game Plan. Number one by far this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the world we live in, people. I'm going to pass out the Kool-Aid now.
Everyone brought my mind to a complete halt.
I'm going to take a big sip and just lay down, because The Game Plan is number one.
Mike rented something called The Gay Plan this weekend, which I think was...
See what you did there?
Knock off.
Wow. You took two words that sound similar and transposed them.
That's correct.
Creating comedy gold. The Kingdom was number two at the box office. $17.7 million made it. That's made it that way. Made it so. Made it number two.
Yeah.
Came in second place.
Not very good, that movie.
Kevin saw it.
I was disappointed.
He was not pleased. If Kevin sees a movie and he's disappointed...
Maybe I just had hopes, but it was a great cast and a great concept.
Kevin's the guy who says, one good explosion, that's it for me for 2 hours. I'll pay my money, I don't care.
It's just kind of slow till the last 30 minutes.
I'm not going to suggest there was a conversation in this room on Friday where some of us said, it looks pretty cookie-cutter, Kevin. Looks like it might just be just a rehash of a million movies you've seen before. And you said to me, don't care.
Yeah, I don't listen to you guys really much about movies. We have different tastes, it turns out. But you were right.
Well, we have taste.
Good versus bad, right?
That's correct, yes. And Resident Evil 3 was number 3 at the box office. Good Luck Chuck was number 4. 3:10 to Human, number 5. The Brave One came in at number 6. Number 7 was Mr. Woodcock. I can't wait till that drops out of the top 10. Eastern Promises, number 8. Number 9, Sydney White. And the Beatles musical Across the Universe came in at number 10. Upcoming Star Trek prequel being helmed by J.J. Abrams. Major focus of the science fiction community, trying to figure out who's going to be cast in this film. And we know some of them already.
So you said prequel, so this is before all of them?
This takes place when Kirk is still in the Starfleet Academy, before he actually becomes captain of the Enterprise.
Okay.
So this is young Kirk when he first meets Spock and the rest of the eventual crew of the Enterprise. We know for sure that Zachary Quinto will be portraying a young Mr. Spock. We know for sure that Zoe Saldana will be playing Uhura, played originally by Nichelle Nichols. Anton Yelchin has been inked in to play Pavel Chekhov. And now, apparently, it looks like an actor named Mike Vogel has the front-running position on taking the role of Captain Kirk, young Captain Kirk.
Mike Vogel.
I do not know this young man. He apparently had a small role in Poseidon. But he's worked with J.J. Abrams before in this Cloverfield project, this 1808, as it's being called now, this horror movie that you may have seen the trailer for.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And apparently J.J. was so impressed by his work that he's got the lead in terms of the race for playing Captain Kirk.
Between him and Hayden Christensen. Those two are up for it.
Actually, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility.
Too bad, right?
Yeah, it wouldn't be a good good casting, right. But it's a reasonable assumption. Alex, by the way, our assistant producer, knows Mike Vogel and just is all damp about him.
So. Sure.
Says he's squirt-worthy, I think we're her terms.
Oh, team, oh. Why do you have
to? I'm just saying, that's what she...
All right, that's creepy.
Fox made a huge mistake in September when they didn't make the right choice regarding the host of the Emmys. If you watched the show, you know that Ryan Seacrest basically served as the host of that show. But according to a new story in the LA Times, several top Fox executives wanted Hugh Laurie of House to be the host, fearing the show may be, and I quote, too entertaining, they opted to put Ryan Seacrest in instead.
Oh my God.
I made that up. Apparently, the person who made the final decision over there, Fox, decided to go with the Idol host over their House star because this executive felt, and I'm not kidding, viewers might be confused seeing Hugh Laurie in an unfamiliar role.
That's insane.
At the Emmys, where everyone has a job on TV.
Yeah.
That's different.
How surprised could they have been that Hugh Laurie would be hosting the show, really?
Wait, this guy, he's a doctor. He usually walks with a cane, and now he's in a tuxedo, and he's talking to people. I have to turn it off. I'm in an overload.
What do they think? We are just idiots.
Apparently.
And the thing is, as you pointed out so truthfully earlier, Ralph, is that Hugh Laurie is hilarious. He's funny. He can sing. He can play musical instruments. He does comedy. He's got a huge comedy background. He's comfortable. He would have been a fantastic host for that show. Instead,
yes.
You got Seacrest and a haircut.
You remember last year when he won for Best Actor, his speech was one of the highlights of the evening.
Oh, that's right.
It was so entertaining. But, yeah.
Can I just clarify, Bean, you said he's comfortable? Is that one of the things that made you want to like him?
I'm saying there are a lot of people who have a lot of talents who are not comfortable standing up on stage in front of big people hosting a show. Yeah. This is a guy who would be able to pull it off with ease.
He's got an improv background, so he could riff off the top of his head and come up with some very clever remarks.
But he's a doctor.
He is, and that would be confusing if you saw him doing that instead of...
Seacrest brought
walking.
Nothing to that show.
No. No. They just had him read the teleprompter.
But at least he's not on the Super Bowl, so that's good. I know.
How you bring me down, man?
Hey, at least you're not going to have to watch the Super Bowl this year, Ralph.
I was going to say, you know what? Because he's going to be in the Super Bowl, I'm not going to let my Eagles go this year.
Is that
the Super
right?
Bowl.
You're going to keep them from
I'm going to make a phone call and tell them not to be playing in the Super Bowl this year.
It's like you made a phone call yesterday before the game.
As my protest against Ryan Seacrest being involved in the Super Bowl.
Good old 1-3.
I'm pulling my team. That's what I'm
doing. You started making those phone calls week one, Ralph, which kind of surprised
me. Well, I want to make sure that they don't get there, so I had to start early.
Oh, they're not going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, easy there. You're there, Cardinal.
Hey, I'm 2-2.
That's true, you are.
Yeah. 4-0.
Phillies.
You hate baseball.
Oh, I love baseball. I cannot wait for these playoffs to get started.
You don't
started.
Love baseball. You love football.
The way they came back 7 games down with 17 games left and stole the NL East from the Mets. Oh, it was outstanding.
You've yelled repeatedly about how boring baseball
love
is.
Love baseball. Best sport ever.
How about that?
This sounds fun. In the New York Times travel section yesterday, they announced the plans to build the Hard Rock Park, the world's first rock and roll theme amusement park.
Good idea.
It's going to be at Myrtle Beach in South Carolina. The main attraction will be Led Zeppelin, The Ride, which is something that Lisa took back when she was young, by the way.
She did many times.
Very fun.
Many times.
Apparently, the ride is a 155-foot-tall steel roller coaster that will blast the band's signature tune, Whole Lot of Love, as you get hurled through 6 loops at the speed of 65 miles per hour.
You'd be brain damaged like you've done drugs for years.
Cool. That's right. You choke on your own vomit like John Bonham when it's all over.
That's a nice tribute.
Yeah.
Roller coasters are cool, but imagine what it would be like if you're going down one, and it sounds like this is going to be a real ride, with hard rock music blasting while you're riding. I think that would really add to the sensation.
Rough gum.
I would too. Oh, Gene Simmons. Hey, yes. Gene Simmons. Haven't heard from you in a while. How you been? Yeah.
There will actually be a Kiss ride.
There will be at the rock and roll theme park. There'll be a Kiss ride. What will it be, Gene?
And it's funny you said that in the Led Zeppelin ride, you choke on your own vomit.
Right, yeah.
At the end of the Kiss ride, mm-hmm. Lisa May will probably choke on something else.
Oh,
but
I think we can see where this is going. Thank you.
Not even try it, Gene.
You're not even trying.
You just took what I said and then just said Lisa May would do it.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
And made it unfunny is what you did, Gene.
You took the funny out
it's
of
funny
it.
When Ralph said it, then you took it, made us sit through it all again, same setup, and no punchline.
Maybe you and the rest of the band should get together, Gene, and think of another ride for that park. That would be funnier. Then let us know when you come up with that.
It's disappointing for the 1st of Rocktober.
Oh, I feel like Gil Grissom every time I hear that.
I think KLOS is the only station that recognizes if you put an R before the month, it's Rocktober.
No way, man.
We're all over that.
Other attractions at the park will be a Midnight Rider ride, which is set inside a haunted steel mill, and it's a tribute to Southern Rock.
Okay.
That could be all right.
A lot of carnies working in there, I'm guessing, with one tooth and wife beaters on.
Get some Allman Brothers, some Leonard Skinner. That could be all right.
There will also be a stunt show. I don't know what kind of rock and roll stunt show you could have.
Just Hasselhoff drinking.
Yeah. Maybe it's Pamela Anderson hopping from guy to guy in Motley Crue or something.
I like it.
A hip-hop themed Midway. You know, stay out of that part of the neighborhood.
Oh.
And an arcade called the Pinball Wizard Arcade, naturally named after the legendary song from the rock opera Tommy by The Who.
I don't see the tie-in there.
Pinball Wizard.
Mm.
Pinball Wizard Arcade.
Don't get that.
Pinball. A Saudi man has divorced his wife because she was watching a male TV host. Apparently, the man decided since she was watching the program alone, and it was a male TV host, it was an immoral act because she was effectively alone with an unrelated man.
That's the law in Saudi Arabia.
That is against the law under strict Islamic law enforced by the Saudis, that's grounds for divorce.
But this sounds like the first time the guy could be on TV in her room and still count.
Sure, logic would tell you there's nothing that could happen immorally between a woman and a projected image on a TV screen.
The act that dare not speak its name.
But the Saudis don't need to really justify their decisions when they
divorce
someone.
It's time for Ask a Muslim. I know we've talked about doing it, but can we start that this week? Can we get that going?
Sure.
Look, there's Muslims and then there's people who just abuse the privilege. This guy was looking for a way out and he just came up with that one. Yep. And they said, okay. It's dumb.
Yeah.
It's dumb.
She's just lucky he didn't kill her, I guess.
Imagine if he came home, she was like humping the antenna or something. I mean, maybe
that's
then,
what happened.
Then you could have a legit reason. She had the cable box stuffed someplace. You know what I'm saying?
In the closet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday, Cindy Margolis is 42 years old today. Randy Quaid, very talented character actor, turns 57. Isai Morales from NYPD Blue turns 45. Stephen Collins, the dad on Seventh Heaven, is 60 years old today. And Julie Andrews from The Sound of Music and Mary Poppins and Deep Throat, I think she was in, 72 years old.
What? I don't think she was in Deep Throat.
What?
No.
What? 72 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You know, they have those fantasy baseball camps, Kevin. A lot of guys go to in spring training. It's former big leaguers, and you actually wear the suit and in the dugout.
Sure.
You play the games with it. And then they have the fantasy rock and roll camps where you go, and you actually, you know, members of bands come, and you get to record music in the studio. You get to learn how to do that. Well, now they have something for porn aficionados. Now there is such thing as Porn Week right here in good old Southern California. And believe it or not, Gazman on the phone with us right now. Gazman from Scotland on the line with us right now to tell us about Porn Week. Good morning, Gaz.
Good morning. Good afternoon, even. Different part of the world here.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, indeed.
Now, we went to try and go to pornweek.com, but our company won't allow that. The firewall has blocked it. Access denied. So you're going to have to explain to us exactly what the Porn Week is.
Okay, for you good folks over there in America, I would say it's the only way in the world that you can get behind the scenes as a regular person. Joe, a regular Joe, you call them Joes, right?
Sure.
A regular Joe can go on a porn shoot, real life, hardcore porno shoot. You can be there with all the sex happening right in front of you.
And it's like a 1 week camp, right? Like you would use a week of vacation or whatever?
Yeah, you've got, I hear you referring to these baseball camps. We've got like football camps that, you know, Beckham and all these people go to. Well, we take the equivalent of the Posh and Becks, put them in our films, and then invite people. It's only like a VIP group, five or six, seven or eight people. Sometimes we have like a two-day event with more people, like an academy.
Right.
But generally it's a small VIP group.
Okay, and when you go, do you just stand around and watch, or do you actually get to run a camera or run sound or something like that?
There's the thing. It depends. Everyone comes with a different angle. We've got people who want to be porn stars, people who want to be camera guys, people who want to be actresses, makeup girls, or people who just like to watch. Basically, anything that interests you about filmmaking and porn, it's all there for you to try. So there are opportunities to give it a go. And even if you have the right certification and testing, the director might choose choose you to do a porn casting.
Oh, you're just saying that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Now, our friend Psycho Mike, who works here in the room with this Gazman, he worked his way through college as a fluffer. Is that a job that's available at the Porn Week?
I think fluffers, well, you know, I've yet to meet a fluffer. I would like to be a fluffer, but I'm always too busy directing this stuff, you know.
So how long have you been doing this, Porn Week?
Porn Week, I actually direct for a company called Harmony Films in London, and it's like a marriage between Porn Week, which has been running 6 years now, and Harmony, who are distributed in your country by Evil Angel. It's like a marriage between the two, where the porn shoot, the porn company provides the circus, and the guests come along as the vacationers. So one won't exist without the other, if you like, on a Porn Week trip.
I got you.
Okay. Now, of course, you're being heard in Southern California right now, which is the porn capital of the world. And I guess your Porn Week that's coming up in January takes place in the San Fernando Valley, home of porn, right?
Yes, we just came back from doing a Porn Week in Los Angeles. Love going there. Been going there for the last, for quite a few years. And, you know, it's a perfect place to do porn. We organize these trips at least twice or three times a year to go to L.A. But we've just announced today, we've just found out from Harmony that they will be shooting, it's just hot off the press, 25th to the 30th of November in England in a house, like a real old haunted house where they shot that movie Pride and Prejudice.
Excellent.
Okay. Yep.
Oh, so that's going to be cool.
I was just taking for granted, because we're in Southern California, you know, the porn capital of the world, that this is where it was. You go everywhere. You go to England, you go to the Caribbean, everywhere, right?
We've been to the Cannes Film Festival. We've been to the Caribbean, you're right. We've been to France, Budapest, Prague, Canada. We've been to Canada doing porn. Can you get, you know, Canada?
How about that? Wow.
Okay, So the website, by the way, is pornweek.com. As Kevin mentioned, we can't access it through the company firewall, but you are certainly welcome to. And I want to find out, just for, because I know we have people listening whose interest has been piqued here, and they're going to want to know more. It costs about $2,000 for singles, about $3,000 for couples. And, of course, there's no travel expense if you're listening to us here, because it's right here in Southern California. And is that an all-day, every-day for a week thing, or is that just a couple days during a week? Or how much do you get for your money?
No, you get a week. You get a week, and what you do, it's over the weekend, so we make it easy for folks who might not be able to, you know, stretching over the weekend makes sense. So we accommodate the porn company accommodates the guests by adjusting the shoot so that you've got, really, from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed, however late that is, you get to see all the porn being shot, and you get to hang out with the crew, the girls, you get to party. We have lots of parties, drinking, have dinner together. Basically, you are part of the family.
Fantastic.
How about that?
Sounds like a dream come true.
Oh, yeah. The girls are beautiful. I mean, we're getting top girls. We're getting people like, we've had Sylvia Saint, who's a big European star.
Sure.
Belladonna was on our very first trip years ago. We've just recently had a new girl called Nikki Jane, who has been signed by a very famous company in L.A. I'm not allowed to say who yet, but she just signed that deal, I believe, through the grapevine a week ago. And she was with us for the whole week. So the guests got to see a brand new star in the making doing her stuff for the first time ever. So we're getting girls who are new, we're getting girls who are established and have names. So any of the names that you know in the business, we'll probably have had them on Porn Week.
Fantastic.
All right, pornweek.com is the site. Again, in England, the end of November. In Los Angeles, the end of January. You can go to the website for all the information. Gazman, good luck to you, man. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, and you have a good day.
Thank you. But I know what I want. Okay. All right, good.
I know I like that.
All right, good, thanks.
Guys, can't you just go do karaoke on your own time and leave
Kiss
us out of it? What's
twice.
With you guys?
Kiss me twice!
9:47, time for some
Come
phone calls.
On, pretty
all
baby.
Right,
baby!
Right.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Well, what it do is 1-800-520-1067, toll-free number. You get on the line, get in the air, get a prize. And today, check this out, a four-pack of tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood Halloween Horror Nights. That includes a private terror tram ride for K-Rock winners only, hosted by, who do you guys think?
Frankenstein?
Exactly. Our own Psycho Mike is going to be hosting that, apparently. Plus, we'll throw in a four-pack of tickets to a special K-Rock screening of a movie that just looks fantastic called We Own the Night. Have you guys seen the trailer for this? Joaquin Phoenix,
yes,
Mark Wahlberg, Robert Duvall, Eva Mendez, in theaters October 12th. You'll get to see it the night before. All of that just for being on Kevin Amin's What to Do, Nephew.
All right. Let's begin with, I believe it's Reyes in El Monte. Hello?
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
What's up?
Baby boo left us early today. Sorry.
Hi, how are you? I'm a whore.
I'm sorry.
What's going on?
No, I just wanted to talk about them Cowboys. Hey, Uncle Mike, how the Cowboys are doing?
That's right. 4-0, baby.
That's right. Sorry, we're out of
time. It's funny because we just started this feature. Cowboys. It's, good. All right. Excellent.
They're doing a come on. You guys got to give them their credit. You know they're doing good.
They look good, yeah.
So far, they look good, but that doesn't make you any less gay. You know?
Hey, let me ask you guys this. I don't believe, as good as Cowboys are this season, I don't believe they have been America's team like they used to be for a long time. To me, America's team now is the New England Patriots. What do you guys think?
I agree.
Raiders.
Yeah. Except for Cowboys fans, everyone hates Dallas.
Yeah, that's true.
They can hardly be America's team if 99% of the country hates them.
They still, if they're not number one anymore, they're definitely in the top three of souvenirs and, like, you know, jerseys sold, though. I mean, people do
well
love
said.
Them.
Yeah, but Michael Vick's jersey was one of the best-selling ones last year. And does that make the Atlanta Falcons America's team?
Yes, it does.
Oh, does it?
Speaking of the Raiders, let's go down one to Jose. He's calling from La Puente. He apparently has some Oakland pride here today, a team that won another game yesterday, believe
That's
it or
right.
not.
They did.
Jose.
Hey, what's up? What'd it do, guys?
What'd it do?
Hey, all I'm saying is if the playoffs started right now, the Raiders would be in the playoffs, and the Philadelphia Eagles would not.
That's true.
That is correct.
Hey, you know what? I'm not one of those stupid Raider fans that thought we were going to win the Super Bowl or anything. I thought we were going to win about six games, but, man, we're looking pretty good.
Yeah, you're
run the ball and play some good defense, so I just can't wait for baseball season to be over. That way I don't have to hear any more baseball.
I hear that, Jose. You don't like baseball, Ralph. You're just saying that because you're
Eagles
baseball. Suck ass.
I love baseball.
Mr. 1-3.
Always been a huge baseball fan.
All right, let's go to Rob, who is calling from Rancho Santa Margarita. Good morning, Rob.
What's up, guys?
Well,
I just want to call and talk about how much of a little bitch Barry Bonds is.
Okay.
He was at the Dodgers game when they played, and he didn't even dress up. He left after the first inning because he said he was just over everything.
What do you mean he was over everything?
Like, I guess he's retiring or something, and, like, this is, like, his last year. So he didn't even dress up for the last game, and, like, after the first inning, he got up and left. He said, okay, I'm done with this. I'm leaving.
There was some talk in the other room about how funny it would be if Barry Bonds went to the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah.
Oh, dear God,
I want him to go.
Because Bean worships that team and hates Barry Bonds. That would be awesome.
We don't pay that kind of money for anybody. There's no worries of that happening, I don't think. But he's done, right? He is done. I mean, he's not coming back. Nobody's going to pay him, right,
at this
point?
He wants to play.
Does he want to play?
He wants to play.
But does he really want to end his career in something other than a Giants uniform? Really?
He doesn't care.
He's not the type of guy that has any unity or, like, respect.
Loyalty,
for a team.
I think you're looking for.
No, or, I mean, any type of, like, fraternity or brotherhood with his fellow players. So it's not like he cares what jersey
he'll go
he has on.
Where they pay him, and he'll just hit some more home runs so he can pad his own numbers. That's all he cares
and
about.
And outside, I mean, he is a liability as a player in many ways, but, you know, he still can jack bombs. I mean, I could see some GMs being like, I'll take him.
Because he can jack bombs.
He does put asses in the seats, though. You got to give him credit for that. People will pay to come out and see him if Barry Bonds is on your team. That's for sure, for better or for worse.
I heard he jacks asses, too.
Hey, let's move up to – let's change topics and go to line one. We've got Eli on the line calling from Canoga Park. I knew she was on but did not watch this show that Eli is calling about. Good morning, Eli. What'd it do?
Hi. Good morning, guys.
Hi there.
Okay. So Friday night on the David Letterman show, he had obviously Paris Hilton. And he just started picking on her. And it got to the point where she almost looked like she was going to cry. And she kept looking to her right side to see if, like, her publicist or somebody would make him stop.
Fantastic.
But he kept, first he asked her what she did in prison and what she ate to protect herself from getting scurvy.
That's great.
Yes.
And then he continued to ask her questions about her prison life. And eventually she just got fed up and said, I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to talk about my movie. And he's like, that's what we're different, because it's all I want to talk about. And he continued, and she just stopped and said, I'm not going to answer any more questions about that. And then from the corner, you hear somebody in the audience go, Paris, we love you. And then she turns around and blows a kiss and says, I love you too. Silence for a few seconds, and then Letterman says, is that someone you met in prison?
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's great. Dave's still the best.
He is. And I wish he would have. I have a clip from Paris Hilton on Larry King. This is one of my favorite things I've ever heard.
That's hot.
That is good.
I heard it.
What's your favorite Bible passage?
I don't have a favorite.
That's after she spent about 5 minutes saying that she read the Bible every day.
I like the ending.
I do feel bad for Dave that he has to interview people like Barris. Because he's so much better than that. He's so much smarter and so much funnier than that.
But he makes it's just the best of it when
yeah,
he does.
Exactly.
At least he that's tortures awesome. Her. That's good.
Yeah.
All right. Are we going to leave great. It there or do we have any more we
no,
want to do?
That's a great
here?
Call.
We have Jennifer Love Hewitt's boob on line 2.
What? Her boob's calling us and I'm not even in the other room.
Okay. Hello? If you say no, you say
yes,
no.
Yes, I'm Jennifer Love Hewitt's boob.
I want to thank all of our,
tasty.
Our many guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including actor Jason Schwartzman. His film is called The Darjeeling Limited, and it opens up on Friday, October 5th. Looks very, very funny. I think we're going to talk to director Wes Anderson from the movie, too, later on this week.
Very cool.
Very excited. He's awesome. Also want to thank actor Anthony Anderson, of course, the star of K-Ville, Monday nights at 9 on the Fox channel. Porn Week LA is happening. We talked to the Gaz Man. Go to the website to find out if you want to get in on the porn industry for just a week. Pornweek.com. And thanks to comedian Frank Caliendo for calling in. Oh, excuse me. Thanks to John Madden for being on the bus and talking to us later on today. For some reason, John says we should check out his friend Frank's website at frankcaliendo.com.
It's weird. That is weird that he would be plugging that. Tomorrow morning at All-New Kevin and Bean Show, we have, it's Author Tuesday. It's Book Tuesday. James Fitzgerald has written a book called The Joys of Smoking Cigarettes.
What I'm talking about. Finally, someone who sees the light at the end of the cigarette.
I can't be good advice to encourage people to smoke, though, could it, Ralph?
Why not? Why couldn't it be?
We'll find out tomorrow.
It's a free country.
That's right. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's the direction we all need to go. Start smoking.
Look, with global warming, we're all done in about 20 years. That's what I figure. So smoke them if you got them.
Also tomorrow, Ask a Muslim.
Oh, crap.
Should be exciting.
I'm going to be out smoking during that.
And also from one of the brand new TV shows that it's one of my favorite shows, The Reaper on the CW. Oh, we're going to talk to Ray Wise, who plays the devil.
Oh, he's so good.
Brilliantly in that show. So we're going to talk to him tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we will continue to give away tickets for Paramore and qualify you to spend Thanksgiving with Paramore in Nashville.
Again, I'm going to say I don't think that was a very well thought out contest.
Plus, she can't even pass you the potatoes, by the way, if you're sitting at the table with her. She's so tiny.
That's true.
She would fall into the bowl and get drowned in mashed potatoes.
That is true, yes.
Stay tuned now for the amazing Tammy Heidi.
Scheduling change. Kat Corbin up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. How about Kid Rock's new one called So Hot? The Ataris, Incubus, Foo Fighters, Stained, Orgy, and more. Straight ahead, right here on K-Rock.